This week, Rockstar draws on its years of experience with GTA Online and brings the experience to the Wild West. Gather your posse and get rootin', lootin', and shootin' without threat of the giant death ray. That's just one story on the home stretch of the year. Join us for the rest of the night's gaming news starting right now on the show, wherever gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 754 for this December the 2nd of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you over the next few hours to talk about video games and gaming culture, the gamer's lifestyle, all that good stuff with my co-hosts. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, me too. I'm fine too. Did you have a good week?
It was all right.
Yeah. Looking forward to any of the big retail releases coming up, like Smash is big. I know you have a Switch now. Are you going to pick up Smash or maybe Katamari Reroll?
Maybe.
Sega Genesis Collection is going to be pretty cool for retro fans.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I'm spending money on kids, so you know.
Well, that's how it goes sometimes.
They don't know, but I've already purchased four more Switch games for
them. Oh,
so.
What'd you... Are you
well,
of course
well I mean,
say.
They're
what'd
not listening
get?
To show.
Yeah, of course.
So,
what'd you get them?
So,
what did Santa get them?
Yeah, so Santa got them, my youngest son, the Lego Incredibles and Lego DC Villains.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. And then for my older son, and they may switch between stuff too.
And you play those Lego games as much as they do. So.
Not on the Switch so much. Actually, right. They've been playing more on the Switch. But anyways, so Hello Neighbor and Bendy and the Ink Machine.
Oh, okay. Hello Neighbor is that like scary game, isn't it?
Yes. Speaking of scary games, so like my oldest son's now has been playing Ultimate Custom Night.
Okay.
Which is the Five Nights at Freddy's, like, build your own Five Nights at Freddy's game type
thing. Yeah.
So he's been playing that.
Oh, that's fun.
Apparently in super easy mode.
Okay.
With, like, no robots in the place. I'm like, what's the point if you're playing with no robots in there? It's like, because I can beat it. Like, okay.
It's safe. It's not very scary when it's done that way. All right. That's fine. I respect that.
But my youngest son wants to play Hello Neighbor. What?
Okay.
I don't know. I think it won't like Bendy, but like I figured they've just they're going to fight over it.
They're going to fight over everything
it's
anyway.
It's
going to
be absolutely
so
miserable because we only have one Switch and they're like, I want to play you again. I already have a headache thinking about it.
All right. Not here tonight, Dark Sakura or JB Summers. She's still on a work conflict for a little while, but she will join us later in the show, and she will be here in studio next week. So let's jump right into some gaming news. Well, let me do say, if you are listening live, of course, over at the Voice Geeks Network of VogNetwork.com, because that's where we tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can always join our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where Dungeon Buster does say, nice picks. Bendy's on my game wish list on Steam. The demo was fun. So, you know, for kids and adults alike, as a lot of great video games often are. So
yeah, and the other one I wanted to get was the Lego Harry Potter collection because they've just started watching Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
So we're up to we just finished the third movie.
Okay, so they're about as far as I am.
So, but they're like super into it now, and so they would want to play that, but they didn't have that at GameStop, so you know.
Oh, all right, fair enough. Anyhow, Dark Sakura will be back with us next week, at least for a week. I mean, she's still going to be on and off in the show through February, sadly. There's just nothing we can do about work. Work is most important. But Loki and I still holding down the fort here with all you guys in our live chat room, soon to be over on Twitch TV in a couple weeks. So if you aren't following VOG Network, all one word, over at Twitch, that's going to be the new home for our live nights. Again, podcast stuff. Still going to pretty much work how it always has. It's just instead of this whole shoutcast, Winamp, what's the link to the stream? I think most people are very familiar with, let me just pull out my phone and go to that Twitch channel. So it's actually going to be a little easier, I think, for most people. So
yeah.
More details on that as we get closer and closer to the go live date, which is right now targeted as December 16th. But it may go one way or the other, depending on how some of these computer issues work out. We shall see. Anyhow, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic because we got video game news going on. So let's talk about, even though you would think it's starting to slow down because of the holidays, and maybe to an extent that's true. And I say the holidays because really this whole period between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's is the holidays. Because to be fair, Hanukkah started tonight, so happy Hanukkah to all those that observe it, for sure. But we're in that period called the holidays, so usually not a lot of big gaming happening now, but we are still shy a few big gaming releases, right? By the time, think
yes.
about this, by the time you guys, you know, hear this, or by the time we're doing our next episode, let's say the next episode we do, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate will be a thing. It will be out in the world, as will Katamari and the Genesis Collection, some of these other games, you know, that are kind of at the tail end of the year here, and hopefully going to end up under some, you know, menorahs and some Christmas trees for folks that celebrate.
Yeah, and that's
holidays.
Why I didn't get them Smash, because we'll probably just get Smash anyways.
Yeah.
And besides, like, I was at GameStop, and only because I agreed to go get ice cream for the family because they were watching the movie, and so I just went over there. I was like, well, I need to get some Christmas shopping done anyway.
I love that you had to justify why you were at GameStop. It's fine.
No. I was just trying to explain why it's ridiculous, because at GameStop, they're like, well, you know, we're not even going to have enough copies of Smash. You know, people aren't going to be able to get one. I'm like, or you could just buy it digitally, and there's just an infinite amount of copies of
Smash.
Yeah,
GameStop may need to change some of their... I was at... Not to derail a bit here, because we do have a big thing we want to get into, but I was at Target just randomly looking at stuff. You know, we needed, like, paper towels or something, so, of course, it turned into, like, a $100 shopping trip. Well, part of it is because I added one more mini machine to my collection, so I now have a Galaga machine in my collection. These are the little mini ones that are, like, $35, the My Arcade. So I have that, some of from that collection. I have the Walmart's kind of $20 equivalent, their things.
You should get the $300 ones, the ones that are like, yay, hi, or whatever.
Well, I told Santa, a.k.a. the guy I'm married to, that I wanted that, because they have like an $80 one that's a little bigger, that has like bad dudes and stuff. $300 might be a bit much when he's unemployed right now, but 80's in the right range. So I said I wanted that one. That's a little bigger. It's going to have to go like on the side or something if we get that one.
Or, you know, you can just plug that in and...
I know, and have all the games.
It has bad dudes on it.
Does it? I know, probably. I know. Anyway, he's pointing at the good old tabletop MAME machine that used to be at his work many years ago, if you're listening to the show, about 3 years ago or so. Maybe longer.
2014.
About, oh, geez. Okay, so about 4 years ago. That was when he brought that over here. It still has the name of his company on the marquee, which is funny.
Yes.
All right, anyway. I promise gaming news. So we still have a lot going on, especially around one recent release, right, Loki? A lot of news surrounding
Fallout 76. I've watched my fair share of reviews on this. I haven't picked it up because I wasn't too keen on it to begin with because it was, you know, online with other people and stuff like that. Maybe that's not such a big deal now, but it seems like it's a mess. And so what kind of started things off, you know, people were kind of getting pissed off at the game's just buggy and broken as shit, and that there's just nothing that's really being done to fix any of it. So finally they came out, they made this big post on Reddit talking about, like, we're gonna, you know, do some better communication in the future, and here's what the Fallout 76 team's working on. So some of the improvements they're gonna make a priority in the December 4th patch is they're increasing the stash sizes, so it's gonna go up from 400 to 600 pounds. And for those who don't play the game, the stash is basically your kind of walking chest that moves with you to any locations that you take over, so you can basically just be able to put more loot in there. Improving loot drops for tough bosses, because apparently the drops haven't been very good, or they may not spawn very well enough things, so they're going to improve that as well. They're saying that apparently people who have suffered glitches that caused them to be trapped inside their power armor will be able to come out of their power armor, because apparently that's a thing. And also they're saying that they're going to cut down on the excessive backtracking in the game. Because apparently there was an issue where it was forcing players that were over encumbered to spawn back at Vault 76. So you had to walk way back to where...
Oh, yikes.
Where your place was. And then December 11th, they're adding push-to-talk on PC, because why the hell that wasn't there, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
This apparently being their first online game that they ever done, and yet for some reason they also had help from all these other teams, including a team that has this massive game called, you know, The Elder Scrolls Online. That they would have, like, be like, you know, you probably should put that in there.
I know, I was going to say, it's actually not the first online game they've ever done.
Well, technically, Bethesda proper it is, because Bethesda Online is another
thing. All right, fair enough. All right, fine. You got me on a technicality. You're fine. Because I was even just thinking, throughout all this news, I was like, boy, like, I you know, I'm not really a big Fallout person. I've never gotten into that series as much. I've tried them. I've played a little of Fallout 3, a little of Fallout 4. But I don't get into that series as much as maybe an Elder Scrolls game is something that I would get into a little more. And I was just thinking, I was like, gosh, I mean, if this was an Elder Scrolls online game, I'd be really irritated. And I was like, wait a minute, there was an Elder Scrolls online game. I just didn't really get into that one either. But I don't remember that being, I mean, I just might be seeing it through like rose-tinted glasses or whatever. I don't remember that game being that messy. But then again, I seem to remember when they first brought out Tamriel, because I didn't want to pay the monthly fee. So I didn't get on it until it was Tamriel Unlimited or whatever.
Yeah.
And when that first came out, like, I think what was happening is, like, things weren't loading on my PlayStation 4. And I was like, why don't I see any of the things I'm supposed to be doing? And I think it was, like, those type of bugs. So it's, like,
yeah, I just
kind of broke it.
Not enough, like, Elder Scrolls Skyrim for me, so I didn't want to play it. But I would love a multiplayer Skyrim. It's just, I'm not sure if they're going to be the ones to make that.
I think I'm ready for Bethesda to move on to Elder Scrolls 6 and see what happens next. So we'll
see.
Yeah,
but okay. So, like, one of the, like,
but everything that's happening here does not make me feel great.
Yeah, yeah, no, prior, no, no, seriously. No, prior to them, you know, releasing this statement on Reddit, I mean, there was, like, people discovering, you know, stuff that's recycled from older games. Like, I mean, and this is something they've been doing. Like, in, you know, Skyrim, there's references to, like, Fallout 3. In this one, there's references to Fallout 4, like, checking to make sure the Fallout 4 disc is in the drive or some weird shit. I don't know. There's, like, a lot of recycled crap that they're taking.
I actually don't think that's as big of a crime as you might think, because it's common for games to get built on engine.
Right.
I mean, like, come on. If you were to play, like, a Madden game, you're going to see some of the ghosted stuff from Madden before and Madden before.
From Fallout 4, I think, are being actually repurposed in this game as well. I mean, it's just, it looks like Fallout 4, except crap. So, and then on top of that, there is some other stuff with camps where they're basically allowing you to bulldoze the area so you can remove, like, rubble and stuff that's nearby so that you can build a camp better, and then also a way to relocate your camp to another server if there's somebody in your camp space. Because apparently, like, when you go offline, your camp is gone or whatever. It gets deleted if someone builds there. I don't know how it works, but it's stupid. So anyways, so they did all that, and, you know, the game was a buggy mess, and people were not very happy about that at the beginning, but at least there seemed to be, like, saying, okay, well, we're going to do something about that, maybe.
Maybe they should have waited a few more months before releasing it, but unfortunately, this is Bethesda's now, like, it's like the running gag in the industry. Is, you know, oh, Bethesda's games are never done when they release. They're always buggy. Like, it just kind
but
of,
now it's getting
it
to
blows
the point,
my mind that anybody would pre-order a Bethesda game at this point.
But see, that's the point. Like, buggy, yes. Like, Skyrim, buggy as fuck. Still buggy as fuck. But there's an intriguing storyline. The gameplay is good. That's what you have. Fallout 76 didn't have the great storyline, didn't all have right. the intriguing gameplay. And so now people are like, okay, well, now these bugs are a deal breaker.
I guess I can see that a little bit, because Red Dead Redemption is also buggy.
Oh,
Red
yeah.
Dead Redemption 2. But, like, it seems to be forgivable because, A, the bugs are hilarious. Like, when the woman gets hit by the horse that I saw in some video. Or, like, it was one of my friends shared on Facebook today. They were walking through a mountainous area of terrain. All of a sudden, this horse just comes tumbling down the hill in the mountain. So it's, like, kind of funny, but it isn't, like, game-ruining. But I get what you're saying. Like, you know, Red Dead also has tons and tons and tons of story and all this other stuff going on. It's detailed. Skyrim's the same way. Fallout 76, because the whole MO.
There's no story, really. I mean,
well, because it's to be fair, it's not really supposed to be. It was supposed to be online. You and your friends build the world. It's the
yeah,
the
but like world. MMOs have stories.
But unfortunately, too, some of those stories are getting really ugly. I don't know if you read about that Twitch stream where some guys, I think one guy said offhanded to some other player, like, "Oh, your outfit's really cute," and then they got basically called anti-gay slurs and hunted down by a squad that was basically trying to kill him because they were gay.
Yeah.
And it was really disgusting. And to Bethesda's credit, they banned that crap and they said, we don't want this toxic shit in our game, which good for them. But, you know, when you throw all these people in a no man's wasteland, it's almost as if the worst part of humanity comes out of people when they can hide behind their monitor. It's kind of sad.
But then there's, of course, you know, the Bethesda fans who, you know, really did like Fallout 76 or Fallout, and they decided, hey, I'm going to order that collector's edition because I got to have that power armor helmet and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it comes with this really nice, you know, canvas bag. and it's $200. Mm-hmm. And so what happened? Well, they got their $200 Power Armor Edition, and that canvas bag is not canvas. It is a nylon cheap-ass bag that they built, and which it's more of like it's kind of like this. It's like if the game were really good, that might be overlooked. But it's not. And so now you're nitpicking every little thing that's wrong with it because it's like, well, what the fuck, you guys? Now I'm pissed at everything.
I actually disagree. I think this is shitty even if the game was good. I think it's a real shit move.
So basically, they complained. It started off as a post on Reddit, and they complained, you know, saying, hey, what the hell? You know, why is this bag not an actual canvas bag? And they they contacted customer support to where there was an email response saying that, you know, thank you for contacting Bethesda support. My name is Nicholas, and I'd be happy to help you. Due to the unavailability of materials, we had to switch to nylon carrying case in Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition. We hope this doesn't prevent anyone from enjoying what we feel is the best collector's edition. And then before that, though, they said that, what was it? That they had no intention of fixing it. That it was a prototype that was shown in those pictures, and that they were unable to make it. But
yeah, you got to get to the second story. You got to get to the second story.
We're getting there. Okay,
this is the worst. I know what's coming. You all know what's coming, and I'm sitting here going, "Oh my god, I'm about to pop off."
Okay, wait, hold on. There's still more. So, still on their site, the collector's edition is still advertising a canvas bag.
Okay.
It was still advertising canvas bag, which is great.
That's not good.
But then it gets even better because everyone's already pissed at this. Oh, and then they said, oh, we understand that you may not be happy with the bag. Oh, let me just get the exact phrasing they did because it was just, we understand and respect that there's a disappointment with the bag and the Power Armor Edition. We are sorry. Please contact Bethesda support with your proof of your collector's edition purchase. They will assist you in granting your account 500 atoms. 500 atoms being 500 points of their fake Bethesda money that you buy Fallout crap, which by the way, is not enough to actually get an in-game nylon, or maybe a nylon bag, but not a canvas bag. Okay, but then it gets even better.
Okay.
The best part was that apparently canvas bags do exist. Because why? Because they've been giving them out to influencers at press events. They're not necessarily the same canvas bags, but they're canvas and they're Fallout 76 bags.
And they're the type of bags that if they were the ones included in the bundle, we wouldn't have any of these issues.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all, I try very hard in this show to not get caught up in like angry mob mentality that happens online and Twitter and stuff. I always try to be very fair. I try to look at all perspectives about like, you know, and you know, maybe there's a reason why this decision was made and all that stuff. But like when I read this about the fact that they were handing out canvas bags that existed, that were made, that the cost was known, how much it cost to make those bags to influencers, like I can't. I got nothing. Like, rake them over the fucking coals, Twitter. It's like they deserve it. That is shitty. That is just straight up shitty. There's no other word for it than what they did with subbing out the canvas and the nylon because they didn't know the cost and they're continuing to do it online. And then they go and they give it to their influencers so that people are making these YouTubes and these Twitch like, oh, because you know these unboxing videos are sweet and then they show this whole thing. And I'm sorry, there is a huge difference between a canvas bag and a nylon bag. Like, we're not talking about like fucking like polyester and cotton. Like, there's a huge difference between those two types of bags. So the fact that like Bethesda is trying to say they did poor planning on this, then you did poor planning on this. Like
this and everything else.
Suck it up, Buttercup. You did poor planning on this. Then, I mean, I honestly think, and I don't agree with this, but I honestly think a better option would have been to make the canvas bag smaller. But at least it would have been like matching their advertising and all this stuff. And again, what you gave the influencers should have been the product. So we have this very interesting case now of in the year 2018, is Bethesda practicing in false advertising? And I think the fact that they're still showing it on the website, despite all this, I think even by old school measures would show, yes, they are. They're falsely advertising right now, and they know damn well they can't produce those canvas bags. But now we live in this really interesting YouTube, Twitch, social media influencer age where it's like, did they practice in false advertising by giving their influencers a different product than what they gave the people?
Well, it's even better about the influencer thing, too, is they had this at multiple events. So some of these influencers may have actually received multiple canvas bags. And the I know one of these that were handed out was actually during this three-hour-long like press event to get early foot or not early gameplay, I guess, of Fallout 76. But it's just it's bad, like, especially now with the whole drama behind it and everything. It's just, yeah, people are going to nitpick the stuff you do now even more so, whereas they may be a little bit more forgiving because you fucked up every aspect of this. Every possible aspect that you had to do, it was just all fucked up. Like, the game is all fucked up. It doesn't play right. And then the collector's editions that some paid $200 for, you can't tell, you couldn't afford to make a bag for $200. I mean, the game, $60, okay, whatever. There's a markup on that. But, like, you can't tell me that the cloth map and, like, the plastic helmet costs $200 to make. No, it didn't. So you can definitely afford to, you know, and canvas, what fucking shortage of canvas are we talking about?
Or honestly, like, why did you advertise it if you weren't going to be able to make it? Like, why did you plan that poorly? That's what it kind of comes down to for me. You shouldn't have sold it that way and taken pre-orders,
yeah,
and
exactly.
All this, if that's not, if you,
when you're planning it out,
yes,
you
should know
what
cost
you,
then.
You know how many collector's editions you're making. Wait, you know how much it fucking costs to make them.
No, I got it. You just said this before we got on this topic. You just said this. When you went into GameStop, they told you to pre-order Super Smash Brothers because why? They would know how many to make, or you might not get one if you don't pre-order because they only make so many.
Yes.
So they're fucking taking pre-order money from people, and they know how many of these they're selling, and they still can't deliver. It blows my mind. Is Bethesda going to get a pass on this because it's the holidays? I sure hope not. I know I'm hearing rumbles of law offices are looking into possible.
Yeah, they do all of that.
You know, but that kind of stuff happens over, honestly, things that probably shouldn't be either.
I know.
I'll believe it when I see a court filing.
I just deposited my $10 check from Sony or like from the Sony class action lawsuit today.
Congrats.
So we're all good.
Congrats. But it's just like, Bethesda needs to answer things. And sorry if I'm going to spoil a story that I think you have coming up later in the show, but earlier next year, they're going to be going on a press junket for their newest Elder Scrolls game, right? Because Blades is going to come out next year now, right? So they're going to be going on a press junket for that. And I really hope, like, they get asked some questions about this. And, you know, if they're doing any, I mean, I know Blades is kind of like a free-to-play thing and all this, but who knows? They'll probably try to have a way to make money off of it anyway, which is fine. That's what free-to-play games do. And if they're going to do collector's editions and stuff, like, I really hope Bethesda gets asked these questions. Like, how are you not going to fuck up like you did Fallout 76, which is copy-pasted Fallout 4 and online. No, I'm being mean. But
no, you're not. It's pretty accurate.
Okay, fine. But
except Fallout 4 is good.
Fallout 4 has the story that was able to save the weirdo bugs, right? That's the difference.
Yes.
Okay. So anyhow, why would anybody pre-order a Bethesda game again? Why? Even, and as much as I can sit here and say, I can't wait for Elder Scrolls 6, and I can't, like, Bethesda's going to have to prove to me why. Well, I mean, to be honest, I rarely pre-order games anymore anyway. Like, I might pre-order things on Amazon. Like, I have my Smash Ultimate. I'm like the one person that's still using Amazon and doesn't have a problem with all the shitty things they've been doing, but that's a whole nother Oprah. So I pre-ordered Smash Brothers Ultimate on Amazon because they promised to get it here at my house the day of, and I don't have to take an extra trip to the store or whatever, that whole thing. So I'll do that. But, like, the nice thing about Amazon pre-order is, like, I don't have to put $5 down up front and cancel it whenever I want, right?
Yeah.
So, like, honestly, like, I can think of very, very few games I have actually, like, paid money to pre-order in a long time. I would think, honestly, one of the last ones I did was Final Fantasy XIV Heaven's Word, because it came with a dragon statue and I wanted it. But you know what, Loki? You know what I got? I got a dragon statue, and it was not made out of paper mache or some dumb shit. It was an actual, legit, pretty impressive little statue in a big box. So
I've never been disappointed with the collector's editions I've gotten so far.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that's been like, oh, I was hoping this would be better. No, it's been fine.
All right. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com, where you guys are really lighting up chat. I love it. Interesting. YYR with a very interesting perspective on this. And I hadn't given this thought. Obviously, the China tariffs are to blame. Canvas bag prices have skyrocketed. Bethesda didn't know this would happen at the time the canvas bags were planned. Disaster. Huh. Well, then why are you telling me this, YYR? Why isn't Bethesda trying to milk that excuse?
They could have changed that. When did the tariffs go into place? They could have.
A few months ago.
Could have said, you know, hey, we're going to have to change.
But let's put it this way, Logie. Between E3 and now, those Chinese tariffs went into place.
Okay. So they could have said, hey, you know, due to this, we're going to be unavailable offer this in our collector's edition.
Fair.
Where you have the opportunity to cancel that if you'd like. Or hey, we're just going to drop the bag out of the collector's edition. You're just going to get the helmet instead.
Fair.
Maybe we'll reduce the price like 10 bucks or something.
Totally fair. You're right. That would have been the right way to do it. I agree with you there. That they would have seen that coming a long way. YYR does want to clarify it was a joke. There could be some legitimacy to that angle. Is that, like, if you want to talk about how did they not know what it would cost beforehand and why does it cost more now? Like, honestly, YYR joke or not? Like that could be the reason. But Loki's right; they should have disclosed it at that time.
But then again, price or not, they did manufacture canvas bags for other things. So,
That's true too. Okay, let's see. Dungeon Buster says, dude, if someone promised you something you ordered and you got something else, that's not right, full stop. And
telling people up front that they're changing something and they're just like, well, we'll get away with it.
Kaijudo in chat says, I don't pre-order many games, but I think people know if the game does have issues, Bethesda will fix them. It's not like it's some indie dev from out of the blue.
I don't know if they will fix them, because some of these bugs that are in Fallout 76 are bugs that have been there since like Fallout 4. It's been there even prior to Fallout 4. So it's stuff that they're not fixing them. And a lot of times the way this gets fixed is because the community creates a patch and fixes the stuff.
And this is also why the indie devs, a lot of them tend to use like the early access outlet, because it allows them to say, I ain't done with this yet. We're still working some things out. You know that by this coming out on early access. And then, you know, they can work out some bugs and do the full release and, you know, all that stuff. Like Stardew Valley, I think, went that route, right? Wasn't Stardew Valley early access for quite a while?
I think so.
Yeah, so, you know, that happens sometimes. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, if it were me, I wouldn't be upset at the quality of the bag, since the main item, which is the game, is all I care about. And that helmet thingy, it's something you put on display. I get it, but it's still, like, I don't know. Like, I still thought the bag was pretty cool. And I don't have a lot of canvas bags that I can think of. I do have little nylon bags I've got at various trade events.
Yeah.
I don't get a lot of canvas bags.
I've gotten a duffel bag that I had with Grand Theft Auto 4 that I used to carry my game system around in.
Final Fantasy 14 FanFest gave me a pretty sweet backpack, I got to say. But, again, that's all, you know, nice stuff. I don't know. I mean, sure, the helmet might have been, like, the centerpiece of that whole thing. Just, like, the Pip-Boy that you wear on your wrist.
Don't offer it if you're not going to make it. I mean, I don't know.
I just think the thing is, the fact that they gave it to influencers still, that's like, to me, like the rest of it, I might have been able to find an angle to forgive them, but the fact that they knowingly still gave the influencers the wrong type of one, and we all know influencers, part of what they do is like basically advertising for, you know, these companies and so forth, like that's the part where I'm like, I got nothing to defend Bethesda with at this point. Like, after they went and did that, I can't.
I don't even think it helped. I mean, honestly, I mean, got the word out that the game sucked. I mean, I don't know.
All right. Anyhow. So, Loki, did you even pick up Fallout 76? Like,
no.
Yeah. I never did, and I honestly
my
probably
won't.
My coworkers
are trying to get me to pick it up, and I'm like, no.
Yeah. Would you maybe when it goes on sale? Because inevitably it'll
it's
go
gotten
sale.
Down to $19.99 recently.
Has it really?
Yes.
I know Black Friday it was down 30% already.
It was down pretty low recently, but like, I just don't know. It would have to be really cheap.
I just don't get into the Fallout games, and it has nothing to do with it. Honestly, it has nothing to do with any of this. I just think it's just shitty, and it makes me worry for the future. Like, if Bethesda gets away with this, they'll have free license to do it again. And
they're planning on using the same engine for Elder Scrolls 6
and the Starfield, right? Or what
Starfield,
was the,
yeah.
Is that the name of it? And I would be interested in a Bethesda game in space. I love space. EA and BioWare used to make a game about space that I really, really enjoyed, and Bethesda does pretty good stories too. So, like, I'm down. But if this is what I have to look forward to, then, like, fuck it.
One of the end game bosses in Fallout 76 uses the same animations as the dragons in Skyrim. Exact same animation.
Oh, boy. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's get into some of the games we have been playing this week, because I'm sure there's been a few things here and there. Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was all Pokemon. So I played Pokemon Go a bit, and then I also played Pokemon Let's Go, and I finished all of the gyms, and now I'm just trying to level up some ice, electric, and water Pokemon, because I think that's what they recommend that you have for the final four. And then, that's pretty much what I've been doing. Because, like, Pikachu right now is, like, level 65. And so it just, like, destroys everything. Like, I go through all of the gyms with just Pikachu and take them all out.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. I could probably just take the final four with Pikachu, too. But, you know, I just haven't tried yet.
At least for the one that's susceptible to electric, for sure. I don't know about all of them, though. Because I think they correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, but I think the final four, Elite Four or whatever, use Pokemon. They're in the level 50s ranges. You can probably get through it with Pikachu, honestly, but you might want to bump it a few more levels or just get like one other Pokemon.
I've got some rare candies. I'll just shove them all in the Pikachu
again.
Well,
that might honestly work. So
let's give Pikachu the level like 80 and just destroy everything.
But Act Deft in chat says, my Eevee is level 99. I haven't gotten to the Elite Four. So, yeah, if you get it that far, then, yeah, it's
yeah,
pretty unbeatable.
Like, see, I had an Eevee, and then I evolved it into a Jolteon because, unfortunately, this Eevee's the Eevee that you get in my game is not the same. You don't get the same abilities as the other Eevee version, so I can't really make an op Eevee that way. But I don't know. So I'll just mess with that right now. I don't even remember what the hell I have in my Pokeball right now. Like, I was trying to remember what it was earlier. It's either I think it's a Vaporeon or it's Archelino or whatever. I don't remember. But yeah, so I just have to do that stuff and, I don't know, play the end game thing, because I know there's some end game stuff and, you know, new areas you can go to. And then I think at some point you fight Red, too, at some point.
Hmm.
And then Mewtwo as well.
All right. Anything else besides Let's Go? And
DDR4th Plus.
Oh, yeah, I saw some of your streaming.
Yes.
You did Conga Feeling for me.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I am not very... I don't like a lot of, like, the fourth mix steps that they put in there. Like, they did brand new steps. I forgot, like, it's been a while since I played 4th Plus. Because I think when I was playing 4th Mix, like, primarily it was singles. I wasn't really playing doubles back then. And I think I did a little bit of doubles, but I didn't really play a lot of that stuff. It was mostly on 5th Mix and stuff that I was just doing doubles.
It was harder in the arcades, too, because you'd be under more pressure to, like, share your game with somebody else, like, if they wanted to spend a dollar and let you pick the songs, like, you know.
So it was a little bit, you know, different, but, like, I don't like some of the steps that they have. Like, some of them, like, I tried playing Xanadu. Like, I played both sets of steps, and they just, I fucking hate them. Like, I don't like what they...
Well, didn't they had changed the steps to Xanadu from...
Right, but you can play the original ones, too.
Okay.
So they have, like, they're, like, edit steps, but it's just all jacked up. So I'm not really digging 4th Plus too much. I may end up putting something else on there, but I can always put it on again whenever you decide to come over, because, I mean, I can swap them, like, pretty fast.
All right. Yeah, we still gotta,
I may end up moving to...
Happen.
I think I might move to Euromix, too, because that's a mix I have not played
yet.
Oh,
there you go. Something new.
And so it's basically Max 2 with, like, some different songs on there. And it's got Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So, you know, maybe.
Quintessential 90s dance hit. You know, there's people alive and maybe listening to our show who have no idea what some of these songs are, who never had the pleasure of going to a high school dance and hearing, where did you come from, where did you go, where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe.
Or I could put, like, the old Euromix. I think I have Euromix 1 on there, too, which is, it's got Caribbean Queen and Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
I don't know, some of those, but that's, like, third mix stuff, so I don't know. Or Disney Rave, who knows? We'll see.
Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com, YYR says, you'll spend an hour with it, and then you'll be done.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm fun with it.
But right. I've been working on Set Mania stuff, too. So I actually started working on a theme that I was going to, a custom theme for the cabinet.
Oh, fun.
But I'm stuck on what I'm going to call it. So that's the problem. It's like a fake DDR version. So
Loki's DDR hell.
No, that's dumb. But
oh, yeah, the kids have to be around it.
So I've got it like started. And I kind of like, I just can't think of a good name for it. So anyway, you can think of a cool name, I'm down with that. But like,
there you go.
I'm working on the figuring out how to do theming and stuff.
Yell it out in our chat or visit Loki on Twitter at LokiOLR. So, yeah. All right, awesome. My gaming week. I didn't really buy any new games this week. Well, except for Runner 3, which I played after last week's OLR. I did a live stream and I did some Runner 3 after the show last week, and that was fun. I don't know why they took the name Bit Trip out of it. I'm not sure what that was about, but maybe because it's not as bit. it does look a lot different now, but it kind of did in version 2 as well. But it doesn't really matter. Semantics aside, the game is cute and fun. And if you enjoyed Bit Trip Runner 2, a lot of that same type of stuff is there in 3. Love the music in the game, and it's fun to kind of be bouncing along and jumping to the music. Obviously, it's like headbang on the wall hard. Like, I got to the boss of the first area, and I just had to like end my stream before I beat it because it was just getting too late. And I was like, guys, I really wanted to like end with beating this boss, but I'm not fucking making progress on it. So sadly, we're just gonna have to call it here. So that's a little bit embarrassing, but there's just some stuff where it's like, dang, you have to really like work on it and do it over and over and over again. But you know, sometimes with those very difficult games, as a lot of 8-bit Nintendo games used to be, you start to feel that progression, and it feels very rewarding and very good when you kind of keep at it. So that was Runner 3. And other than that, I've been playing a lot of the similar things that I've been playing.
Did you ever pick up, what was it called? It was Old School Musical.
I didn't. No, I've watched you guys play it, and I never picked that up myself. That's probably on the list. I should have got that during the last Steam sale. Dang it. But maybe I'll get it, because there'll be another one like at New Year's, right?
New Year's, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe I'll pick it up then, if it even goes on sale. Not everything does. So I might pick it up then. Or maybe I'll just, you know, who knows? We'll buy it before then.
They have another Switch.
Oh, do they? Oh, maybe I'll buy it there.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I got it on both, because I bought it on the Switch, and my kids are like, give me that. I want to play whatever the hell game I'm playing.
I want
Mario Kart. I'm like, well, crap, how am I going to play this game now? Okay, I guess I'll buy it on Steam, too.
All right. Yeah, Bobby Blackwell says, just pay full price for it so the developer gets the full price. Fine. And honestly, the Nintendo games go on sale a lot less frequently anyway, and I like the idea of having it portable and... That seems like a good Switch game. So I think we found a good happy medium. All right, Bobby. All right. let's see. And other games I have been playing this week. Continuing on in Final Fantasy 14, trying to like cap out my tomes, work on my gear in that game. World of Warcraft. Although I kind of have hit a wall where if I don't team up with Delvin or other people to do like mythics and other stuff, like there's not really a lot of ways to advance my gear besides trying to get Azerite. So one thing that I've been working on is PvP. I'm actually having fun PvPing. And for some reason, I don't know if they're considered underpowered or something, but I play a warlock. I play an affliction warlock, and in PvP, like I hardly ever see other warlocks. Like people will get excited when I'm there because they'll be like, yay, lock candy, which is, you know, a thing. It's a spell they have to let everybody get a little hellstone. And so I don't know, but I feel like I do all right when it comes to damage, because you can just dot everybody up and you have this one spell that's Seed of Corruption. And so you fire it on somebody that's like in the middle of the pack. And then when it explodes, they spread this thing called corruption to every other player around them. And that's probably how I'm able to climb up the DPS charts, in some of those big battlegrounds so easy. But anyway, I won't bore you with all the WoW talk, cause I know not everybody plays, but that's something I've been getting into a little more is, playing the PvP. In World of Warcraft. And I've gotten enough marks of honor where I bought the very first season set, the blueberry face on the warlock. I just bought that one last night. And I bought one of the sets during Cataclysm because I thought it looked cool. So I'm PvPing enough to buy some of the Barbie dress-up transmog sets. And so that's a lot of fun, dang it. So that's kind of giving me something to do in the game right now. Otherwise, on consoles, been continuing to play Tetris Effect because I played the weekend event. I beat the Journey mode thing. That's right. Am I mixing them up? Yeah, Journey is the mode with all the stages, right?
Yeah.
And I will say, Bobby did get something right on his last show. That stage with the hot air balloons is like one of the best songs in the game. You know what my absolute favorite was the board right after that was the Mermaids.
I haven't played enough of the game.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah. Oh, you know, well, I don't think I'm really spoiling anything.
No, it's...
But... There's in the very last set, well, And you can see this on the map. Again, it's not a spoiler. The very last stage is one giant stage called Metamorphosis. So before that, you have like a track of five skins that you do. And I think the second one is the Hot Air Balloons. That has a really cool little song behind it that's very similar to the trailer song. Mm-hmm. And then the one after that is the Mermaid Cove. And it's like purple, this really beautiful color. And the song is really good, too. Like, I really enjoyed that one. And in VR, again, oh, it's so good in VR. I love playing that game in VR. It's just such a... like in the zone type of game. I love it. That's pretty actually.
But have you played Rez in VR?
Yeah, I did. We talked about it last week.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So actually I'm not unhappy you brought that up, because even though I didn't play it again this week, remember last week we got into this thing where I said I noticed that Rez Area X is like its own thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's developed in Unity and it's in the Synestasia engine.
Yeah, and Unreal, yeah.
Guess what? Since I beat Tetris Effect, I actually watched the credits. Guess what, y'all? Synestasia engine. Tetris Effect and Rez Area X are built on the same engine. And I tweeted about that on my Twitter. Go look at who liked my tweet, because I wrote something like, wow, Tetris Effect and Rez Area X are indeed on the same engine. What's next? Question. Enhance liked the tweet. Some other employee over there liked the tweet. And Mizuguchi liked the tweet. And I was like, okay. Wow, that's like a little kiss and that's a little pat on the ass from the developers. Like, good for you, Snowflake, figuring that one out. So I was thrilled, and I honestly, yeah, I meant it. Bring it on.
What is yes, new Rez game? Yes.
Rez Triple X. Do it in the Synestasia engine. Do a Child of Eden remake in the engine. Do a new. Let Mizuguchi do whatever the fuck he wants, TBH, because I will be there, and I'm sure the Synestasia engine will be great for it. So or whatever they want to do in the future. Like, and I said this when I first reviewed Tetris Effect. Like, we all have our fanboy things in video games, and video games that man makes, Mizuguchi, like, he made 99 Nights, and I still defended that more than most people did, okay? Because, look, it was flawed, but it was still decent for what it was, okay? So anyway, I played a little bit of that, and I guess that's all that's like jumping out, other than like continuing Switch games, Pokemon Let's Go a little bit. Mobile games, still plucking along on Ingress, although Ingress isn't as exciting now that double AP is over. I wish it was always double AP. But I guess one thing, you know, quickly I will say about the mobile games that I play, Ingress does seem to be wanting to implement more limited time events, kind of like what Pokemon does. Because obviously we had this 3-day long community thing, although really that bonus window was when all the shinies were boosted and all that good stuff, which I caught like seriously like 12 shinies in that 3-hour period. But it was unfortunately, you know, I didn't need anything,
yeah,
but it was nice to get another Bulbasaur because I had only gotten one, because it was the Bulbasaur weekend was the same day as Bobby's wedding, so obviously that was more important. So I'm really glad I got a second chance.
I'm just trying to get all my Dratinis now so I can actually get, I have a shiny Dratini that,
oh, there you go,
left or shiny Dragonair that was left over from.
But anyway, we talk enough about Pokemon Go. Ingress, on the other hand, it seems to be wanting to look at doing more of those limited time events, especially because, you know, they're trying to push the Prime Scanner as their new version of the game and all this. So they're doing some event coming up where, like, for 5 days beginning on December 6th, don't quote me on this, because everything they have to do based on UTC as well, that you're going to get double AP for smashing resonators and placing resonators. But not like hacking, and it's
yeah,
interesting. They're kind of doing like a weird thing with the AP, and that's their version of experience. So it's, you know, it'll be interesting. So, but yeah. Otherwise, that's been plenty of gaming for me. So, all right, let's get to some housekeeping. Over at sorry, I'm checking in with the chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. VidPower confirms that Old School Musical only had a 10% discount in the Steam Autumn Sale. Anyway, hey, 10% is 10%. I mean, and that game is still newer. Like, and what Bobby says is, you know, the devs are entitled to a big chunk of the money, and that's fair. And Bobby Blackwell says, Senpai notice, Rob. That's seriously how I felt, just so we know. And ActDev says, Mizuguchi likes a lot of tweets, especially when they mention something good about their games. Oh, I'm sure Mizuguchi, like, has that tweet deck and has a thing for Tetris Effect, so he sees all the tweets on it. Not that I think he sits there all day, but, you know, he probably scrolls through it once in a while. He probably likes a bunch of tweets. You know, I bet when you're a game developer, seeing good things about your game feels really good. You know, I would bet that is a thing. And so, you know, I love it that he stop to check it out.
Yeah, exactly. And like going back to Fallout 76, I mean, I'm sure that it feels bad for like the developers that, you know,
I'm sure there
on
are
that game.
Many
they're
people,
probably so frustrated. Yeah. Like, we wanted to fix this shit,
I know, but
we couldn't.
That's a very fair perspective and something we can't say enough. I'm sure there are plenty of Bethesda employees who worked very hard on that game who are just straight up embarrassed right now. So, like, don't pick on people that work at Bethesda unless they're boardroom management, financial, CEO type of people. Those are the people you take issue with. Do not take issue with the QA people, the programmers, the people that designed the textures and all that stuff. They were making the game under the constraints that they were given from up above. So do not let me see you doing that on Twitter. But I know the listeners of this show are smart enough to know that. Let's see. Going to chat for a couple more comments. Dark Titsui in chat says Rez Triple X. Well, it does support trans vibrators. Ba-dum-bum. That's true. That Rez is the game that brought us that wonderful, wonderful accessory. All right, some quick housekeeping before we get to gaming news tonight. Let me bring up one thing because it was brought up on Bobby's show, so I think it's important to just bring up here too. So y'all know that we're going to be making a transition to Twitch for the live presentation. So right now, if you want to listen to the show live, you're either using the plugin over at live.vognetwork.com or you're using something like TuneIn, or basically you're using something that is Shoutcast embedded. You're using something to connect to an MP3 streaming platform called Shoutcast, which goes all the way back to old school Winamp, which is why we joke about this computer that still uses Windows, I almost said 95, and it might as well use Windows 95, but Windows XP, because that's, you know, when this Winamp and Shoutcast thing was all made. So anyway, part of the reason we're making the switch to Twitch is that for our live presentation, it's now going to be delivered on Twitch. And so you don't have to think, like, what's the link to get to OLR Stream, or what app do I have to download? Because, you know, I think most of y'all have Twitch in your pockets, on your phones, and all that stuff. And on your gaming consoles and on your computer. So this will be very easy for you to just go to twitch.tv/VogNetwork and check it out. So since we are moving to Twitch, obviously video is a big thing on Twitch, so we will be streaming video additionally with that. As far as the podcast goes, and again, I want to emphasize it's Orange Lounge Radio, and it always has been, and that's going to be the way it is for the way foreseeable future. So the podcast will be the exact same thing pretty much you're hearing now. But maybe it was actually, I'm looking at, we got a brand new mixing board. So maybe a little bit of audio polish and maybe a little bit of polish here and there. But for all practical purposes, it'll be the same show that you're used to and still free. And I want to stress that. But, and there is a but here, something somewhat new. I say it's new, even though we used to do stuff on Justin TV a long time ago. So, and you can go to our old Twitch channel and see some highlights from what that looked like. And it'll look better now because it'll be HD and we're not in the same studio, but it'll, you know, you get the idea. But something that people are, you know, looking forward to, I suppose, is video, even though we don't plan to play up to the video. I don't know how exciting it'll be, but all right. But some people were wondering, like, will I be able to just go listen to OLR on Twitch video archives? And we are still a podcast and we want to push people to the podcast feed. So that is kind of still the preferred place to listen to this show in the archive. However, I understand that people want to go along with the show live, which I think is great. And, also with that, people, might want to go check out what it looks like live and all of that. And that's fine. But we did make a decision at VOG Network that we will be putting the video on demand, only on demand, not the live. The video on demand will be available to subscribers of the Twitch VOG Network only. Again, we see that as something new that is being put behind a paywall and not anything old that we're like taking away to put behind a paywall. I want to really stress that because I know how y'all can handle some of these news when game companies do it sometimes and all that. So again, it's something new. And if you want to be here live, you'll get to see all of it for whatever. But if you do want to do the video on demand, because again, podcasting is kind of the game we're in and we want to really push people there. But if you really, really want to see the video, you can use your Amazon Prime if you have that, your Prime subscription over on the VOG Network, or so on. But not right away, because again, we're going to have to get to that point first. We have to kind of hit the affiliate status on Twitch and all that good stuff. So for a little while, it'll still be open and free, so you kind of get an idea what that looks like. But please know that the plan is in early 2019, we are going to kind of make that change. So if you all have any questions about it, or you want to yell, get mad, although I don't know why people would get mad, but you never know. Now's a good time to do that, because I just want to be upfront with that. And yeah, I hope some of you guys will, you know, enjoy it, though.
I remember one more thing I was going to complain about on my gaming week, and this has to do with both Pokemon Let's Go and Pokemon Go.
Uh-huh.
It's the brand new Pokemon, Meltan.
Oh, yeah?
So Meltan, the way you get him in Pokemon Go, or you have to get him in Pokemon Go, is when you transfer a Pokemon from Pokemon Go into Pokemon Let's Go through the Go Park, you get a mystery box that appears in Pokemon Go. And you open the mystery box and acts like a lure for 30 minutes, and you're supposed to spawn a bunch of Meltan. You catch them, and that's how you're supposed to do it. And you're supposed to get 400 Meltan to evolve into whatever the fuck the thing's called.
Melmetal.
Melmetal, yes. And Meltan's also, I mean, you can earn candy by walking, but you have to walk 20 kilometers per candy for that, which is fucking stupid. So it was, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised when I popped the mystery box and 30 minutes go by and there's four fucking spawns of Meltan. Four. Mind you can use that once a week.
Yikes.
So it would take, assuming that was always four, and assuming that I was...
Do you get more if you walk? Because that's the way regular lures work. More will pop if you walk while the lure is going.
I was walking.
Okay, just making sure.
It's so four.
Are you using pin apps?
Yes, of course. God damn.
Just making sure.
Yeah, every time. So it would take like probably at least a year to get Melmetal.
Act Deft is saying you get 10 Meltan guaranteed. So,
well, it's not a guarantee because I got four and I had that fucking app open the entire time.
Something happened. There
was not a fucking guarantee. In fact, I complained about it on Twitter. Because for the first, like, 8 minutes, nothing was spawning. Like, it was all of the event Pokemon that were around, but nothing was spawning. And so I'm like, what the fuck?
I wonder if the event screwed it up somehow. I don't know.
Well, you know how we can fix that? It's called you program the fucking game so it doesn't fucking do that.
All right, let me get some of these comments, and we'll get into the gaming news for the week. So in the comments over at live.vognetwork.com, a lot of positive, that's fair, I understand, I'm cool with that. Thanks, you guys. I really appreciate that. Bonds006 in chat says, just re-download Winamp for the memories. Winamp did put out a new version, and I'm all for the memories, but it does remind me to say that when we do move to Twitch, the audio will no longer be available. So if you are using TuneIn or the plugin at Vogue, well, the plugin at Vogue Network will simply change to a Twitch window. But, the way you're listening live now, again, only for our live listeners, for podcasts, it'll be the same. But for live listeners, it will change. You will not have a audio-only feed anymore. I believe Twitch offers a audio-only component in the app where you just listen. But, yes, it will be a little bit of a change. But also, again, the radio feed, the Shoutcast feed, is the most important, expensive piece of running Vogue right now. So hope you guys will understand.
Oh, and he says, Bobby mentioned new chat room.
Oh, yes, new chat room too. We will be moving over to the Twitch chat room, which, I mean, kind of makes sense, right? And that's just a decision because it ain't, like, let's be realistic, you guys. If we said, oh, don't use that chat, head on over to this chat, people aren't going to do it. So if we want to get new people in our family, we want people to be engaging and all that good stuff, we have to open up that chat over there. But you know what? This also opens the door to, if maybe we want to do more extra things, we're going to be able to really do that. So it's really exciting. And as far as I know, the plan is it will be a shared space with Bobby Blackwolf, Anime Jam Session. Hopefully some of our other shows too. I'm really hoping we'll give it a try. We'll see. Again, we don't want to force them to do anything. We'll still be a network for promoting and lifting each other up. But we'll have a platform should they choose to use it. But as a podcast producer, they're free to do whatever they want to do. Maybe draw some more stuff and grow our network. So I think in the year 2018, it's going to be an awesome thing. But I'll stop talking about it and let y'all experience it in a couple weeks when we get to experience it too. Let's get into some gaming news for now instead. Loki.
Yes, so let's talk about Nintendo finally getting rid of their shitty Nintendo Creators Program. So for those who may or not remember, the Creators Program was basically their way of doing YouTube content or monetizing YouTube content. So basically, you weren't allowed to put YouTube content out there unless you're part of a Nintendo, the Nintendo Creators Program, in which case they got a significant portion of the ad revenue from that. And then they wouldn't strike your video for that. So now, as of March 20th, 2019, they'll be ceasing operations on that front. So we are ending the Nintendo Creators Program to make it easier for content creators to make and monetize videos that contain Nintendo game content. We will no longer ask creators to submit their videos to the NCP, and the creators can continue showing their passion for Nintendo by the following following Nintendo guidelines. And let's see what those guidelines are. I think it's just basically, from what I gathered, it was you got to make sure that you're not just posting direct video of the games. You're doing some commentary. They want to make sure that your input's in there. So, for example, they want to post gameplay videos, screenshots using Nintendo system features. You can use the capture button on Nintendo Switch with additional input or commentary. You're only permitted to use Nintendo game content that has been officially released from promotional materials, official released by Nintendo, such as product trailers or Nintendo Direct. So none of you streaming Smash Brothers before it's out because you pirated a copy off the internet. Not allowed. I mean, that's self-explanatory. They, of course, reserve the right to remove any content that they feel is unlawful, infringing, or inappropriate. So that type of stuff.
So no, like, Peach Fuck Daisy type of things on YouTube.
Going on YouTube anyways.
To be fair, under parody law, you might be breaking some YouTube things, so you got to be careful. But under parody law, I would say you still have quite a bit of leeway room. But you can't really use direct feeds of Nintendo stuff, and you'd have to be a little more creative with how you do parody, I guess, in that regard, right? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. Don't take my advice. Maybe just don't do that idea.
So they basically, there's some things, there's like a QA on their little guidelines or whatever. So some of this is kind of a little interesting. So, for example, one of the questions, number three, what do you mean by appropriate video and image sharing websites? And the answer is, we generally accept most commonly used video and image sharing platforms, such as, but not limited to, YouTube, Twitch, and Instagram. However, we reserve the right to remove any content that we believe is unlawful, infringing, or inappropriate, or not with these guidelines. And then number four, what exactly are the monetization methods separately specified by Nintendo as referred in the guidelines? So they're talking about monetization through Facebook, Nico Nico, Open Rec TV, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Could it be that the reason that Mixer isn't on there is they don't have a way to monetize stuff yet?
Their partners do.
Their partners do?
Yeah.
Hmm. Of course, they have an asterisk. They're subject to be updated.
I just think, again, and I mentioned this on Bobby's show when this topic came up on the call that we do at the end of his show, but I think with Mixer, I think it's just that Mixer does a lot of Microsoft stuff, does a lot of PC stuff, not exactly known for its heavy Nintendo presence. And although you may not have heard of some of these streaming sites that were brought up here, like Nico Nico, like that one's huge in Japan.
Nico.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some of you have, but some of these sites that Loki's naming, they're big in other countries. They're just not the method of choice here. But did you say things like Dailymotion? And
nope.
So there are other, because like PlayStation 4 will let you stream to Dailymotion. So there are other sites that are being not called out here, but I would assume it's a similar kind of rule on these sites.
So I think they're just listing sites because they're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
Sorry, I'm laughing because ActDeft in chat says, this is the best news from Nintendo in the whole year. Yeah, even more than Smash.
It is good that they're doing this. I think the whole program that they have was absolute shit, so it is a step in the right direction.
Misinformed, I'm going to say. It just wasn't a good idea. Yeah. And I think finally, I think it caught up with them. I think there's certain big channels who made a decision to just stop covering Nintendo. And I think somebody finally had a discussion aboard. Finally, everybody made a meeting that was planned 1 week where they brought in some numbers and said, you know what, guys, this program is just not effective because we're not getting looked at by these people. And what are we really gaining from this? We're not. Here's all this social media feedback on our creators program. We're not getting new people that apply. People are just doing it on Twitch
All
of it. So I think finally they just sat down and said, why don't we just adopt a policy similar to Sony and Microsoft?
Well, some people are worried about certain wording that's in there. Like, for example, you're only permitted to use Nintendo game content that has been officially released. So, like, for example, they're saying officially, does that mean ROM hacks and fan games? Not officially endorsed.
Honestly, if you want to take it at face value, no. If you want to take it at face value, that stuff is not acceptable. However, is Nintendo going to blackball that stuff? Probably. I would think Nintendo's going to turn a blind eye to it, especially when it comes to things like AGDQ. We all know that Nintendo would be the biggest dickbags in the world to smack down a charity event that they just happen to be playing ROM hacks. And I think Nintendo is well aware enough of that as well. That wording is specifically for what is happening right now with Smash.
Yes.
And how that... And to be fair, I think when it comes to the hack, like the homegrown Smash that they did, that stuff, Nintendo probably don't want that stuff out there either.
Well, I think also like they're talking about like maybe like if somehow someone were to leak footage from a game that hasn't been released or something like that, like if something were to leak out of Nintendo, then they'd be able to... smack it down.
It's maybe, but I don't know. Then you have to kind of question what ends up being fair use for the purposes of news and commentary, and yeah. You just get into all that stuff. But unfortunately, if you still continue to use YouTube, you're going to notice there's a very good reason why VOG Network went to Twitch and not YouTube Live. Because I'll just say it, because I'm not one to hold back tonight. Because YouTube Live, and I've said this over and over again on the show, YouTube has demonstrated that they do not side with their creators ever in these issues. So whereas Twitch seems to make decisions that, you know, they're not always what you want to hear, but I feel like for the most part, they've been a lot more sensible in the types of decisions they make and so forth over on Twitch. And that's a big part. Obviously, I solely did not make the decision, but those were the type of factors I weighed when I cast my vote. We'll put it that way. So anyway, my point is with that, if there's like a leak and that's like newsworthy, one could argue that's a bit of like news and fair use. But I think Nintendo is trying to prevent the straight up piracy leaks, that type of stuff. They don't want that. They don't want you streaming 4 hours of Smash Brothers, or worse yet, I guess Smash Brothers is story based. But I was going to say, let's say in a couple years time, they do a new Zelda, because Nintendo would be redonkulous to not give us a new Zelda after Breath of the Wild was fucking amazing. Right. There's going to be a new Zelda someday. We all know.
Yes.
That. So what they don't want is somebody streaming the entirety of Zelda and the story spoilers and all that stuff 3 weeks before the game is out. That's what that is there for.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, they want to keep that stuff under wraps. I think you can give Nintendo that. For all the Nintendo is clueless when it comes to online shit that they're given over the years, this new policy is good enough. And again, I really think if you go look at Sony and Microsoft's policies, you're not going to find that big a difference. Sony and Microsoft don't want that stuff out there either. So right. I really don't think you're going to find big differences in that.
So I'm glad they're going this route.
Yeah. So anyhow, Tiger Claw says 4 hours of Smash Brothers. What if you were broadcasting a tournament? Well, you're not going to be doing a tournament of a game that has not yet been released yet, because that's a whole nother reason. Unless, here's the funny thing. If you're Nintendo and it's your official tournament, well, you can do whatever you want. Because remember, at E3, they did do a Super Smash Brothers Ultimate tournament. Am I not right? Didn't they do a tournament?
I don't remember.
I think they did. And when Nintendo's doing Treehouse and all that stuff at E3, they can stream all the Nintendo stuff they want. But, you know, a lot of that stuff, again, like at an event like E3, you know, that media is put out there for other people to put out on their channels and, you know, put out in the open and so forth. They just don't want unreleased stuff out there. But E3 demo footage, I don't think, is going to really be a problem either. So, let's see. Bobby Blackwell says they aired that on TBS last night. The E-League took that E3 tournament and turned it into a few episodes that aired on TBS last week. Huh, just in time for the release of the game. Funny that.
Yeah.
Might wonder why it took a couple months of delay. Did it really take that long to edit? There's a little bit of both those things coming into play. Who knows? All right. Yeah, Tiger Claw says, so by the time Ultimate comes out, we can expect tons of coverage for that in the fighting game community. And honestly, Tiger Claw, I think Smash Brothers could be the catalyst for why Nintendo finally sat down to review this decision. Because maybe they realized there were some big names in fighting and all that stuff that were not going to look at it because of Nintendo's rules. And I mean, who knows? I could, you know, I don't have all the facts in front of me. Only Nintendo knows why Nintendo made that decision. But I think somebody pointed out to them they were off base and thinking they could control the entire internet with all that content. And they got set on the right path. So there you go. Anyhow, maybe not so much on the right path as it comes to light this week. The PlayStation Classic. Yeah, that's coming out real soon, too. And Turns out some of the games on the PlayStation Classic not actually going to be exactly the same as you remember them in America. That's because they're adopting a different standard for the PlayStation Classic called PAL, which if you're in Europe, well, that will be the game that you remember. But essentially, the difference is that a game in PAL would run at 50 hertz. So a game that runs at 30 frames a second in America runs at 25 frames a second in Europe. Essentially, I mean, because, you know, 60 hertz is that more like standard here. It's like, so if you kind of do your fraction, okay, anyway. So essentially, it cuts down the frame rates a little bit. Will most people notice?
Yes.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
You will.
But if you're like a big Tekken fighting game person, and Tekken is one of the games, Tekken 3, where the PAL version is used, those frames can absolutely make or break when it comes to when you block, when you do your moves.
Right, because the game's running at 50 frames per second instead of 60. It's a locked 50. Well, it's not even locked. It's, you know.
Yeah. Sony did confirm that news in a PlayStation blog post about the PlayStation Classic. So for some reason, the Europe versions are going to be the worldwide versions. It's not just Tekken. It's going to be as well Resident Evil Director's Cut, Tom Clancy, Rainbow Six, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, Jumping Flash, Grand Theft Auto, Destruction Derby, Cool Borders 2, Battle Arena, Toshinden. So
yeah, you go watch Digital Foundry's video. They kind of do a nice breakdown of all the things that are not so great about the PlayStation Classic being. There's sound emulation issues. There's slowdowns in games that weren't in the actual versions of the game. Just even the emulation like method that they use is not fantastic. It works better on the PSP, even, which if you think about it, like. I don't know, man. You could like buy an old PSP and with the video out cables and get a better experience than you would with the PlayStation Classic, which is pathetic. I don't know. I think you can do better.
Yeah.
You know, with RetroArch, they have other... they were showing there's one... I don't remember what core it was, but there was a different PlayStation core that you could do that was... It actually fixes all the texture distortions issues that the PlayStation had. And my God, they showed like R4 on that. Oh, then that. Now, if that was how it looked, that would be fantastic. And I'd be totally on board with getting it. But no, not the way this is.
Well, also, one other thing is that in the blog post, the PlayStation Classic will not be upgradable. They're saying the PS Classic is preloaded with 20 of the best games from the original PlayStation. It is not possible to purchase additional games for PlayStation Classic. I don't know where that rumor came from. I thought they made it pretty clear before that it's not, like, they're not connecting it online or anything. But whatever.
It sounds like a challenge to me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you wouldn't really want to upgrade it, but, I mean, you could, like, I'm sure it'll be hacked. I can't wait for that portion of it. And who knows? You know, being that it could be hacked and being that it's running an open source emulator anyways, I would think that perhaps we could just load something on there that maybe emulates it better. I don't know.
All right. Bobby Blackwolf's in our chat saying the official reason is because the Europe versions have 7 languages, where the North American versions only have English and maybe French for Canada. And they wanted to make only one PlayStation Classic for both North America and Europe. I mean, I guess yay to more countries having access to this because of language needs, but it just doesn't seem like the greatest follow-up news story when this... I think most people... Here's the thing. I think most people are already feeling lukewarm on this. And so this is just another kick in the shin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just minimal viable product.
Yeah, exactly. So, All right. Well, we'll see how it goes for them. Anyhow, moving on. I have a feeling this will be PlayStation's only classic console, though. We'll see. Moving on, though. Loki.
So I'm surprised I didn't play this week, but Red Dead Online, they did like a surprise announcement that, hey, we're going to be doing testing for Red Dead Online, so you go ahead and check it out. It's going to be available out there. So people got a chance to actually check out what the online microtransactions are going to look like. So you much like Grand Theft Auto Online, you know, they have different currency you can buy, you know, shark cards. So in Grand Theft Auto Online, that is in the form of gold bars. Well, right now you cannot purchase gold bars for real world cash. That is going to be probably coming. So right now you earn nuggets, and I believe for every 100 nuggets you get a gold bar. And for some of the customization in the game, it costs you money to do that. For example, they said with the if you wanted to change all of the metal pieces on your starting rifle, it's going to cost you 30 gold bars, which takes about 200 plus hours to earn. The only other way is to purchase, you know, gold. And then they said, of course, future your first horse, I guess you can insure it without gold, so that means that it will respawn. Otherwise, if you buy a horse later on, you would need 5 gold bars to insure it. And then also people are finding that the in-game prices for items that you can purchase are much higher in the online version versus the actual game, whereas the rewards aren't necessarily as high because, of course, they're trying to drive you to buying, you know, that online currency. See, for me, I'm kind of worried that I don't think the draw, like with Grand Theft Auto 5 Online, is going to be the same as this game. I don't think that Red Dead Online is going to have that same draw because you're kind of limited in scope of what you can do with the game. Whereas Grand Theft Auto, I mean, you have like stunt races and shit with like cars transforming and all sorts of like crazy tracks and stuff in the sky and different game modes that are ridiculous, like with spy cars and all that. I just think you're going to be kind of limited what you can do game mode wise. And so I may be harder for them to make that money back that they think they're going to make with this. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says Red Dead Online is just Barbie horse adventures with mustaches and guns. Bobby knows how to sell video games. Like, I'm kind of interested all of a sudden. No, I mean, the online mode, I bet, would be pretty cool. But I don't know. Maybe it just sounds like it's very, very limited. But it's like all these games kind of like have forced online modes these days, right? I remember Mass Effect 3 got so much shit for having an online mode when it was such a narrative game. But, like, honestly, I still defend Mass Effect 3's online mode. I thought it made that game that much better. Like, for all the shit it got for its ending and all that other stuff, like, honestly, the online mode was fucking solid. Like, I really loved how they implemented it. And I kind of wish, like, yes, I know we got another online mode in Andromeda, which really, it wasn't bad. I didn't like it as much as 3's, but it was competent. So I'd like to see another Mass Effect that's that, if I can't get a narrative
game soon.
For example,
like, here's an example of how fucked up the economy is online right now. So they said in the game you can steal, you know, loot stagecoaches and stuff like that. You can sell a gold wedding ring for $1.15, but a can of beans costs $1.50 to buy.
That's more than they cost at Winko. That's a supermarket here. I don't know if that's a nationwide thing, but all right. Anyway,
so it's just like it sounds like they're gonna need. But you know what, though? To be fair, it is a beta. All this stuff can be rebalanced. That being said, in Red Dead Online, or not Red Dead Online, in Grand Theft Auto Online, the prices of cars have been going up and up and up and up and up. So, and Rockstar did make a lot of money off of Grand Theft Auto Online. So, you know.
All right. Let's talk about some rumors. Everybody's favorite thing to get into in this slow news period time of year. Although, no, to be real, I mean, the Game Awards are coming up this next week.
Yes.
So I always forget how quick and fast they come and they go, right? Like, I feel like we just heard the nominees for these a couple weeks ago, and now it's like, bam, the awards are here.
Yes.
So, which the nominees are not legitimate because Tetris Effect only got one nomination in a minor category, and that is criminal. I'm sorry. but all that joking aside, we know that we're going to get some big game reveals at the Game Awards.
Yes.
Especially with no PSX this time of year, right? So there's really, it's kind of open season
in
December for announces.
The one I paid attention to was the Russo brothers are going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Avengers, right?
Yes. So yeah. I'm hoping that Avengers game.
Yeah, it would either be the trailer for the fourth movie, but not sure that's the right place for that. I think the trailer for the Avengers game
would
be
both,
hot.
I'll take both, please.
Hot.
I'll take both.
Yeah, I would say, if you're gonna bet money, go on.
It's not gonna.
The
they're not gonna. They're not gonna debut a trailer at a game show. No, they're gonna debut the game trailer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, but one of the other big rumors is something circulating about Mortal Kombat 11. Now, grain of salt, y'all. It's from 4chan, so I completely understand if you want
to
write this off right now.
Are you telling me this is just like the Grinch leak or whatever?
However, there are some indications based on things like track record, the thoroughness, some other things in the responses, and some things that have collaborated that give it a few more legs. And also, I mean, are they going to make a Mortal Kombat 11? You know what? It's a pretty safe bet that, yes, they are going to make a Mortal Kombat 11. When did Mortal Kombat 10, or Mortal Kombat X, if you will, when did that happen? That was, what, back in 2015?
A while ago.
It was a few years ago. So, I mean, granted, there was Injustice 2, so it's not like NetherRealm's been sitting on their butt, but they've been probably pretty busy, you know, working on a Mortal Kombat 11. So I won't get into too many more of the rumors, but one thing that I did find interesting, they are talking about some character things, but I think it's A, way too early to talk about that. B, who knows what's going to turn up as fucking DLC anyway. You say a character's not going to be in the game, it'll probably just be DLC later on. But anyway, apparently, there will be an adventure mode that will have gameplay similar to Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks from 2005. So that's kind of interesting.
Sort of like Shaolin Monks.
Yeah, why not? Why not? So anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll find out by this time next week when the Game Awards actually happen. Now, something that seems a lot more probable when it comes to rumors is because Koei Tecmo has a new game that they are teasing on a site, and they're teasing the unveil as December 6th. Well, guess what's on December 6th, you guys? The Game Awards. So Koei Tecmo is almost certainly unveiling something for the PlayStation 4 and Switch with the tagline on the website in Japanese that says, "The Fated Battle Begins." So Dynasty Warriors prequel? I don't know. It could be anything.
And I know that this could is no surprise to anybody, but apparently Conan O'Brien did a trip in Japan recently, and he went to Kojima Productions, and they have footage that they're going to show, but they're not allowed to show it yet. So until after the Game Awards.
Oh God, so, are they going to do another Death Stranding tease the Game Awards?
I think it's going to be another Death Stranding something or other.
Here's the thing.
I know we're getting.
You
sick
all know where I'm at with this. You all know where I'm at with this. Like, if all I'm going to say is this: game or get out.
Maybe it's gameplay. That'd be cool.
Great.
Well, they showed gameplay last time. It's still like running around.
Yeah, it's not really. So, game or just don't bother. Please don't show up. I'm sure people are going to see it and love it and eat it up anyway. And because it is Kojima, I have to cut this some slack because Kojima doesn't really make bad games. I mean, he doesn't. Like, and he makes games that unfortunately didn't get finished, but I still would have loved to play. Such as Silent Hills. Anyway. Tiger Claw theorizes is that I bet this new gameplay footage will show another major celebrity that's in Death Stranding. Perhaps another cameo. Might be good. We'll see. Anyhow, let's move on with a couple more stories, and then we'll get to the classic game of the week, Loki.
So apparently a full copy of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has leaked out 2 weeks early. And this was caught online by, it's been spreading around, I guess, YouTube and Reddit and 4chan. Basically, the hacker who went by the name of JJ was showing off, like, some gameplay. And was basically, you know, they had asked to confirm that it was legit and stuff. And basically showing, you know, different specific stages and stuff and whatnot. Basically, he believes, you know, leak came out online. He thinks that it came from a journalist early code or a wholesaler that broke Street Date. Probably from another country, because I know that shit ain't shipping that early anywhere for the specific reason of breaking Street. But apparently, you know, this has been kind of smacked down by Nintendo already, and so be curious to see, though, what's going to be coming out regarding this, you know, if any more details will leak out, but we're only a couple days away, so, you know.
Yeah, I know. You're a couple days away from being able to play the game yourself. It sounds like the thing that would probably be the biggest surprise would be any more characters. Because sometimes in Smash Brothers, like even with this last one on Wii U and 3DS, we didn't know about Duck Hunt being in there until the game actually like came out, right? And there's a few things like that they kept secret until the game is out. Well, I will say,
have they announced all the characters yet?
They have, because the leaks don't show any new characters. So that's that. And Plus, they found out they could sell new characters through DLC or give them away as incentives like Piranha Plant, and that would be a great way to do it. So I kind of think that. And it's also, like, you can't sit here and be like, gosh, Nintendo's really holding back on characters when they are giving you every single... It's not like they cut somebody to make room and sell it later. Nope, they're giving you everybody from every single game and a few more. So... you really can't say Nintendo's holding back, okay? So it is what it is. No secret characters. But I think there's some things related to story mode. I won't get into that here, obviously, for obvious reasons. And then the music list is out there, the full music list. And all I'll say about that is it's goddamn impressive, and it's going to make you wish that, like, there was just a mode where you could just turn your little Switch into a jukebox and, like, plug it in your car stereo and drive down the highway.
That's what the aux cable's some of that. For.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe people will do that. I don't know. And I'm sure you... I don't know graphically what it looks like, but they would be silly if they didn't just put a mode in there where you could just kind of, like, have your little Switch sitting there with the thing in the back that holds it up and just have it playing some music, you know, at your next party. So there you go. ActDeft in chat says the leak apparently originated in Mexico. Yes, I'd heard that too. Sounds like a retailer there may have put it out on the shelf. You know, just not everybody... follows the rules, and it's not always somebody maliciously trying to do it. It's just it may have gone to a mom-pop indie store in a country where, you know, I'm sure most North American, European, the big regions probably all get the rules enforced, you know, very heavily. But you start to go to places that maybe don't deal with as many companies on that kind of stuff and NDAs and, you know, street dates and that, it was inevitable it was going to happen. And once it's out there, y'all, it's out there. Y'all know that.
Yeah.
So... there it is. Smash Brothers is leaking out. So be careful of leaks. But again, you're not going to – I think the story stuff will be some people – things that people want to avoid. But I'm going to admit I looked at it and I didn't see anything that made me go, oh, my God. But I didn't like really read through it with a fine-tooth comb either. Like I'm just excited to play the game soon. And honestly, like I hate that when I phrase it that way, it makes it sound like I don't care about the game or something. I really do. But like – the minute they announced every single character will be here and you have this and this and this and this, I'm like, this game's going to be a great value. Like, they don't even need to announce anything else. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So these spoilers are more of a whatever to me. All right. Anyhow, one other story here, and this is about a classic as we start to get into the classic game of the week. But Al Lowe, which is a name you may be familiar with as the creator of the Leisure Suit Larry games, and he did some of the other classic Sierra titles too, he's going to be selling some of his source code for classic Sierra games on eBay. He did an interview with Metal Jesus Rocks on YouTube. Never heard of the guy, but all right, go ahead. And he said in the interview, Al Lowe said, I'm 72 years old and none of my kids want this junk. Does anybody? Isn't that funny how, like, a lot of times kids, like, don't want to do the thing that their parents are into? Like, this happens a lot with celebrities. Some do. Like, you know, like Paris Jackson, daughter of Michael Jackson, I think wants to be an entertainer. She's kind of going down that path. But you get a lot of, like, kids of famous movie stars and stuff that are like, I am perfectly content being an accountant or being a office manager or, be, you know, they don't necessarily need that life.
Yeah.
So I could totally see where Al Lowe's kids are maybe like, that's cool that dad made this video game that tons of people
I
play.
I don't want to make porn games, Dad. I won't do it.
So anyhow.
Listen, son, you're going to make those porn games. I didn't raise you to be anything like this.
Well, now, Loki, you weren't there in that household, so we don't know. But anyway, all that jokes aside, you can check them out on eBay. They're all being sold under the same name, Al_Lowe. What is currently being sold there, the source code for Leisure Suit Larry 1 and Leisure Suit Larry 2, which I think either one is going to set you at least $8,000. To be clear, you are not buying the intellectual property rights to the game. Somebody else has that right now because new Leisure Suit Larry games are coming out. You are not buying the rights to compile this and mass produce it. You don't have those sorts of rights. You are getting the source code. That's what you're getting. And, you know, but it could be a really cool little way to get some insight, especially if you're, like, into that stuff. I really, you know, I know there's some gaming museums and gaming preservation societies. I hope some of them have the coin to throw in for this because I bet it would be really fascinating if we could get that. Word is, and Bobby was getting into this on his show, is that right now, as of right now, and it could change by the end, but as of right now, the highest bidder is the company that owns the rights currently. That's an interesting little twist, isn't it? So since they own the rights, they would be able to take said source code and re-put out the game and maybe put it, I don't fucking know, on mobile or whatever they want to do with it, which is probably what would happen. Who knows? Don't quote me. But it'll be interesting to see if that's how it turns out. I would love it, though, if one of these like retro preservation societies, but it is a lot of money. And, you know, those societies run on donations, a lot of labor of love there. Not a lot of people making money off that. So they just may not be able to afford it unless a very kind donor steps out to do that. So anyway, if you want to check that out, there's a whole little thing on YouTube and you can check more. It's all over the internet right now. And again, the current bids over at al_low. So as of the recording of the show, Sunday night at about 7:30 Pacific time, $8,400 for the source code to Leisure Suit Larry 2. Excuse me, $8,401. Source code to Leisure Suit Larry 1, $9,201. There's some other collectibles he's selling as well. Including, I don't know how this is, Boppa Bet is going through for $10,000 because it's extremely rare. That's going for more than the source code. Go figure. But he's selling some other little things here and there, too. So, interesting. So, yeah, hopefully, again, somebody will be able to come up with a coin to buy that source code and preserve it. Okay. All right. But for now, let's talk about other games that might need some preserving as we go to the classic game of the week. And so we take a step through the portal of real magic to a simpler time and simpler games. It's the classic game of the week. And joining us on the Skype line tonight is Dark Sakura.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. Just it's good to have you here.
Been busy.
What's that?
Been busy.
It
We've
has
been putting stuff together for the show behind the scenes.
It has been busy. We did. We went on a little friend date yesterday, and we did some stuff for the big studio changeover or makeover, whatever you want to call it, and the Twitch stuff. And then we went out to food, and that was good. And there were so many leftovers. I believe you're eating them now, right?
I am. I finally, all by myself, finished off the wonton soup.
Congrats. Good job. Good job. All right. Well, we would encourage our listeners to step into the gaming vault like you do every week and curl up with some nice hot soup in this winter weather and play, I guess, a scary game this week, Dark Sakura. What is the classic game of the week?
The classic game of the week is a game called Sweet Home. And I don't think a lot of people might have heard about it because while it's a neat game, it's based off of a kind of obscure movie. Sweet Home was a ghost movie that came out in Japan that was about a team of filmmakers who wanted to run a documentary about an artist who had lived there and he died, but it turned out that the house was, of course, haunted in true Japanese ghost story fashion. So the game is based on the movie, but the game director, who is Fujiwara Tokuro, he got complete permission to tour the film set to inspire him for the game, and then the film director said he could take liberties with the script. So it actually was an expansion of the story in a little bit. The game came out in December 1989, only in Japan. It actually had some really good reception, and it was even called better than the film, which how often does that happen for, a video game tie-in?
Like, never. I was going to say, we never get, video games that are, better than the movie. I'm trying to think if there's, others. It's very rare. It's very rare.
Very rare, yeah. But at any rate, the game never did come out in the West just because, it really did have some pretty at the time, gruesome imagery, and of course, also RPGs weren't very popular outside of Japan, in the late 80s. But the game itself, it's very significant because of what it led to as well. Fujiwara Tokuro also had worked on Ghosts and Goblins in the arcade, so he already had that little bit of a finger, into the pool of scary, So the big thing about this game is that it really did, and I'll get to the game that it really inspired later on because that's a big part of it, but lots of different things came in in the game, including the use of quick time events, inventory management, ghost story, and the Metroidvania-style exploration gameplay. On top of that, it also had story switching, or more like character switching. So basically, in the game, you are in this intricate mansion, and you have five playable characters, and they were all characters in the movie, but each character has a unique item that is necessary to finish the game, including a camera, a lighter, a medical kit, a lock pit, and a vacuum cleaner. Okay, the vacuum cleaner actually belongs to a painting restoration person, like to vacuum up glass, you know, like a little vacuum cleaner. But, I mean, in the nutshell, the game is where these people are, like I said, are going in to explore a house that was left abandoned so they could see the last works of this great artist who died. And, of course, Ghost. But getting back into it, you've also got, different puzzles to solve, inventory management, survival horror. It's one of the early survival horror games. And you have to backtrack to other locations to solve puzzles with items you acquire later. In this giant mansion, hint, hint. And the mansion eventually grows, like, you know how when you go through Metroid, you get the different areas, that's how the mansion works. You have random enemies, and you either fight or run away. You can also pray. But you get different, like, types of enemies, like zombies and ghosts and dolls. And the only way that you can restore your health is by getting tonics in the mansion. The story does have some cinematic cutscenes, you know, for an NES game at the time. And you can pick up notes like secret messages and diary entries that tell you more of the story. Now, with the game, you have different traps that you have to solve really quickly or else you die. Well, the character dies. And then when a character dies, they remain dead permanently in the game, like permanent death. There's no bringing it back.
Yikes.
But the item that had their power is left to be used by somebody else. So, like, for example, if the nurse Akiko dies, then the team will find pill bottles that can be used to heal ailments, so different things like that. And depending on how many characters are alive after you defeat the final boss, you get different endings depending on, you know, it's up to 5 endings depending on how many people you live. But, so, basically, the movie itself, 30 years prior to the game, so like in 1959, this artist named Maimiya Ichiro, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce anything tonight, had different frescoes that were in his mansion before he, you know, disappeared or died. And so the present day, these 5 documentary filmmakers are going in to recover the paintings in his mansion, but they find that this ghost of an unknown woman wants to kill them. Turns out the ghost was his wife, and their 2-year-old fell into the incinerator and died there, and had to be fed, like, the corpses of other children to be happy, and he was bringing him playmates by killing other children, and that she killed herself, and well, ghosts and all this stuff.
This is a wonderful holiday selection, Dark Sakura.
Of course it is. So now, here is the reason why the game is important. Like I said, it was directed by Fujiwara Tokuro, and he had worked on Ghosts and Goblins, on Commando, Bionic Commando, Mega Man 2, and Strider. Now, there's more that goes to this, is that the ideas that came into this game eventually made it into another game called Biohazard. Where do we know Biohazard from?
Resident Evil 7 is called Biohazard.
Well, the first Resident Evil was called Biohazard in Japan.
I know, I was just setting you up.
Yeah. Anyway, it was the first Biohazard was supposed to be a remake of Sweet Home. It was directed by Mikami Shinji with Fujiwara acting as the producer, and he thought that, you know, there were so many things he wanted to do in Sweet Home that there would be the the ability to do this now on the PlayStation. And of course also came out on Saturn. But Capcom no longer had the rights to Sweet Home, so they created a new universe, and that's where Biohazard came from. And so in all of the Biohazard games, it has like elements that were introduced in Sweet Home. So, like, for example, the first Resident Evil is supposed to be first-person battle perspective, but then that got changed because of how the game had to go. But it had, like, you know, the mansion with the layout, getting the story through notes, multiple endings depending on who survives, you know, the imagery, the door-loading sequences, puzzles, backtracking, all of this. You know, having to use a lockpick and a lighter, you know. And then in the later games, Resident Evil 0... let you switch between characters and drop items for the other characters, which you could do in Sweet Home. The QuickTime events, you know, showed up in Resident Evil 4 and after. Resident Evil 7 even has some story elements, including the film crew going to an abandoned house with a paranormal female presence in the house. So, you know, tragic stories. And it also apparently plays homage to Sweet Home in a side story told through a VHS tape. So it was really, you know, that just kept going on and on and on. And so it's just funny to see how even today those elements are still going on in the current Resident Evil franchise. And yeah. So there you go. The game is Sweet Home.
Sweet Home for the Famicom, because it wasn't really released here officially in the U.S. anyway, but fan translations are available because this is the internet.
They are out there.
Yep. And I gotta say, yeah, like,
I don't know, maybe we should like do a take turn stream of this game.
Yeah, that might be fun because, like, yeah, I mean, so much depth to this game, which was on the NES. I mean, you're talking about a lot of concepts, like endings based on who lives and who dies. Like that was Until Dawn was very famous for that very recently. You know, a lot of these other you know, games like the QuickTime events and things. And yeah, when I'm kind of watching, because I was not very familiar with this game until I knew you were going to pick it, and I kind of looked up some stuff on it, and it looks like, especially like in the overhead and when they're kind of walking around, it looks a lot like, to me, and this is another obscure pick, but Ultima 4 Quest of the Avatar is kind of like what it looks like.
Yeah,
but then it's got like all this,
that whole perspective.
Yeah, this whole different element to it. Yeah, the way the menus work and the perspective and everything really looks like Ultima 4 to me. But yeah, kind of neat.
But well, it was, you know, and the funny thing is that now that I think about it, you remember I said that when I was younger, I had a Japanese friend who had a Famicom?
Yeah.
I think my friend owns this game.
Nice. Well, you should...
just never played it, but I remember the box.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, there it is again, your game of the week, Sweet Home on the Famicom. Good choice, Jamie, educating the listeners tonight. Although, I don't know, I might have done it in October, but she does it her way here on OLR.
I do what I want.
That's
which,
right.
By the way, I will be on the show next week.
Hooray! I was about to say, Dark Soccer's favorite Christmas movie? Krampus.
No, it's Gremlins. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. At least you didn't go with Die Hard, which I think is now like the cliche answer. Everybody says Die Hard's a favorite Christmas movie.
Such a cliche. You know, I'm not. This may be blasphemy. I'm not really the biggest fan of Die Hard.
Oh my! All right. Well, I'm sure.
I really am not.
I'm sure you'll get some hate mail in our
Gremlins
Discord.
Gremlins is a
better
movie.
That's all right. You know what? If you
I will say that to my dying day. Be mad about it.
Die mad about it while playing Sweet Home on the Famicom. All right, there it is. We got to get back to the studio for this week, but we'll see you in studio next week. Darsakra, any final parting thoughts for our listeners?
Next week is Hanukkah. You know what that means? Latkes.
Oh boy, cooking with Dark Sakura on the show next week. I look forward to it, though. That's always fun. She's done that before. As those of you that are newer to Orange Lounge Radio, she has cooked latkes, this Hanukkah celebration, live on the show before. So I look forward to that, honestly.
Yes.
So applesauce, too, all that good stuff. So looking forward to that next week. And again, those of you, I think I said this earlier in the show, but those of you that are celebrating Hanukkah with the first night tonight, hope you're having a happy celebration and all that good stuff. Yeah, I'll be excited to have Dark Sakura here next week. It's a bummer she won't be here the first week that we make the Twitch move, but it is what it is. So I have to figure out how video magic is going to work, because the short answer is I don't think it's going to, but I'll have to do something a little different.
You could just put, like, you know how like they have you set up your overlays and everything, so you could just have, you know, have the video and then put like a different sticker over her.
No, I think she's gonna be more open to doing some video stuff with that. We have
just
we
put a picture of Dr. Claw.
I actually love that idea. I really do think Jamie should be like Dr. Claw or something, where she's like, you know, partially hidden except like them nails or something. Or I think we were joking in the car the other night about wigs. Because she was saying she was going to be Sia and just have like a giant wig that she wears. And then I was like, ooh, you get to expand your wig collection, though. She's like, ooh, I like this idea. So who knows? We might have Jamie in drag every week. Who knows? But all seriousness, I think the easy answer, which I'm sure a lot of you, I'm not even looking at chat at the moment. The easy answer is it'll probably be the audio still, but maybe with footage of said game running behind the audio would make an awful lot of sense, wouldn't it, Loki?
Yeah.
So I think that'll probably be the direction it goes in. All right. If I can pull it all off, we'll see. The deadline is fast approaching.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase drum.
All right, meanwhile, let's get into some rapid-fire news and talk about some other things going on in the industry this week.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a tease, but apparently, finally, the PvP trainer battles are going to be coming to Pokemon Go. So they've been teasing some stuff through Twitter, talking about how there's different classes of Pokemon you'll be able to battle and stuff. Just not exactly knowing when that's going to happen yet. Maybe after this event, who knows? But soon, because they are teasing it, so we'll have to wait and see. Then, of course, you know, as referenced earlier, Elder Scrolls Blade has been delayed to early 2019. And so they announced this via Twitter. Bethesda did. So we'll have to wait and see what happens to that. Maybe it just needs some more time to polish those canvas bags in the game.
Womp womp.
Yeah, so that's it.
That's it. Sorry for ruining that story a little bit earlier. My bad.
Oh, nah, it's all right.
Are you looking forward to the trainer battles in Pokemon Go?
No.
I think people need to lower their expectations because people are like, oh, finally we'll get to battle like we do in the Game Boy games. Nope. Nope. No, you won't. Like, I'm going to tell you right now. Don't assume.
Imagine the gym battles, but it's just another person instead.
Yeah, it's ding, 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 ding. That is exactly how it's going to be.
And so it's going to be broken somehow.
Who can tap? Who can dodge? Maybe the dodging will actually be important. Like, that'll be a thing that is, like, actually important now. But honestly, like, do not suddenly think it's going to become the Game Boy. You know why? Because the game they want you to buy to do those types of battles is Pokemon Gen 8, which is all but confirmed for next holiday, assuming it's done. So yeah, get just these pie in the sky ideas about what PvP is going to be. Nope, it'll be
let's yep. Go Meltan.
That's right. YYR in chat says it's rock, paper, scissors, and you're gonna like it. Yup. All right. Moving on, talking about some other stories like PlayStation Plus and free games for December. The PlayStation Plus free games for December are going to include Soma and Onrush on the PlayStation 4. And
Onrush sounds good.
Yeah, Steriden and Steins Gate on the PlayStation 3. And the Vita has crossover with Iconoclasts. That's a cross-buy thing, so you also get that on PS4. And then the indie runaway hit Papers, Please, which if you've never played that is really worth a look. Papers, Please is a pretty cool little game. I like that. I need to do a stream of that sometime. I need to go back and visit some indie classics. As far as Xbox Live and the games with gold go, on Xbox One, you can look forward to Cube 2 from December 1st to the 31st, and a game called Never Alone from December 16th to January 15th. That was that game that you played like a little girl, and she's like got this spirit animal with her and stuff that she kind of walks around with. And I'm sorry, I don't remember all the details of this game. It's a very artistic kind of adventure game. It was pretty good, what little bits I saw of it. So I think that'll be another one. It's kind of similar to Papers, Please, one of those smaller games that you'll have a chance to look at all over again thanks to this. And on the Xbox 360... And remember, these games are backwards compatible with Xbox One. The second half of a month goes Mercenaries Playground of Destruction from December 16th to the 31st. But the first half of the month, Dragon Age 2. It's a pretty big one there. So, yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
I like Mercenaries.
Yeah. YYR commenting about Never Alone in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, the game is based on an Alaskan native tribe. Never Alone, that is. Yeah, I thought it was native culture-based, but I wasn't 100% sure, so I didn't want to say that. But thank you for confirming what I was kind of thinking in the back of my head. Talking about Rockstar and them walking away from a trademark. They had trademarked the term agent for a game some time ago, but they walked away from that trademark. That trademark is now going to be irrelevant.
It was this game that was expected to come out on PlayStation 3, like an exclusive or something, a long time ago.
Would have still thought that they might have held on to the assets or tried to make something out of it. Even Blizzard salvaged Titan and made Overwatch out of it, which ended up being a huge hit.
Well, they made too much money on Grand Theft Auto.
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, it was supposed to be. Oh, I guess it actually was announced at E3 2009. It was going to be a PlayStation 3 exclusive, but didn't really end up going anywhere past that. Bummer. So that's it for that Rockstar trademark. So if you want to make a game called Agent, you might have the opportunity. All right, let's travel around the world and check out what's coming out in stores this week, starting with the U.S., Loki.
Well, we got quite a few things coming out this week, so let's start off with Gwent the Witcher card game on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Just Cause 4 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, Monster Boy in the Cursed Kingdom on the PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Mutineer Zero Road to Eden on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, Override Mech City Brawl on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, Persona 3 Dancing in the Moonlight on PlayStation 4 and Vita, Persona 4 Dancing All Night on PlayStation 4, and Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight on PlayStation 4 and Vita. We have Subnautica on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Thronebreaker The Witcher Tales, well, two Witcher games in 1 week, how fancy, on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, The Last Remnant Remastered on PlayStation 4, Katamari Damacy Reroll on PC and the Switch. I'm totally getting that on PC because of mods. And
mods.
Path of Exile on PlayStation 4. PUBG.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was the thing that was happening.
Yeah, PUBG on PlayStation 4. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on Switch.
You don't say.
And then also it's Ultimate, but not until the week after, but I'm going to tell you anyways because I'm looking forward to it. Earth Defense Force 5 on PlayStation 4.
Which you'll just be reading every
week.
I'll
just read it again next week.
Yes, that's fine.
That's it.
All right. Let's talk about what's happening in Japan. Over on the PlayStation 4, Capcom is putting out a Capcom Belt Action Collection. I think that is their version of the... God, what do they call it here? It's all their like side-scrolling fighting games all in one collection. What the hell did they call that here?
The fighting or no, not
fighting game collection or something. Although it's not, but it's not
beat 'em up
Fighter.
Collection.
Yeah, beat 'em up or something like that. But they're getting their version of that this week. It's the one that has, Final Fight is in that
Captain
stuff?
Commando.
Yeah, Captain Commando.
Final Fight.
Yeah, those all those stuff you already downloaded on MAME a long time ago, but now
Knights
you can do
of
it
the
officially.
Round.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, Final Fight, Knights of the Round, King of Dragons, Battle Circuit. It's all that stuff. So, which that collection's already out.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
I don't know if that one's there.
Yeah.
All right. Also coming out, Just Cause 4 gets its Japanese release this week. Mantis Burn Rising, Fighting EX Lair, and that is it on the 6th. But, of course, they also, if we go over to the Nintendo Switch, they are also getting their version of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on the 7th, same day that we are. Also coming out in Japan, though, Sid Meier's Civilization VI. Which I still have to pick up on the Switch. I heard somebody, I think Target or somebody's having a sale on that coming up.
Hmm.
So, which I think Bobby is okay when it's not an indie developer that I'm okay to seize, especially if I've bought the damn game before. You know, if I'm buying the Civ 6 for the second time, I think I'm allowed to take advantage of a discount. I think I will be. I'll have to look into that. But anyway, in Japan, it's coming out for the first time on December the 6th. And that same Capcom collection is coming out in on the Switch. This week as well, December the 6th. Also, lastly, but not leastly, a cute little game on the Switch. Don't let Smash Brothers take your eyes off of a game called Little Friends, Dogs and Cats. That's right. Little Friends, Dogs and Cats is also coming out on the Switch this week. You know what this game is? It's just fucking Nintendogs, except Nintendo didn't make it. A company called Imagineer made it. But, like, looking at the screenshots and all this stuff...
It's fucking Nintendogs.
It's Nintendo. Well, you're not fucking the Nintendogs. But, yes, it is Nintendogs and Nintendcats, basically. Which kind of begs the question... Nintendo did kind of let that one go, didn't they? They didn't bring that back for Switch, did they? Somebody thought this would be a good idea to put out, at least in Japan.
Probably my guess would be because it's mostly touchscreen controls, and that would be difficult to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have, like, the touchscreen stuff sort of, like, because this console is a home console, not just a portable console.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, no.
You're right, and Nintendo probably doesn't want to do anything like that first party. There are some games, like, what, Voz, that you can only play with the touchscreen. You can't even, like, play it docked. So there are some games that lock out certain types of modes. Like, remember when Blaster Master Zero first came out, you couldn't use the Pro Controller? You can now. They fixed that mighty quick, but you couldn't, like, the first week or so. So, you know, there's still some weird oddity stuff, but I don't think Nintendo themselves, you're right, because that game was very highly touch-controlled, they're probably just not interested in revisiting it on the Switch. And they're letting third-party companies
do it. Well, at least
right
now. It might be something that comes out later on, but, you know.
Oh, and ActDeft corrects me in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com saying Vaz now allows for TV play. So they changed that at some point. Thank you for the update. I actually was not aware of that. Very cool. I might have to check that out now because I play a lot of – I know a lot of you guys are like, I play everything in Switch portable mode. But, like, no, I play most of my stuff docked. Like, once in a while, like, especially if I'm on a flight or something, I use the portable mode. But I kind of prefer docked mode whenever possible. So. Mm. All right. Well, how about the UK, Loki, with Dark Soccer not being here?
We have Just Cause 4 coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Override Mech City Brawl on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Gear Club Unlimited 2 on the Switch. The Council Complete Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Persona 3 and 5, The Endless Night Collection, Persona 3, Dancing in the Moonlight, and Persona 5, Dancing in the Starlight, all on PlayStation 4. Why did Gear Club Unlimited listed twice? Whatever. They're releasing it twice in the same day. So that's the thing. Then, of course, I know you're going to be super excited about this, but, of course, they have the Fallout 76 merchandise, which is releasing as well. And the PlayStation Classic is coming out, which I think is also coming out over here in North America as well next week. But, you know, it's not technically a game release. Jagged Alliance Rage on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on the Switch. Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Subnautica on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And finally, we have the GameCube accessory for the Switch, and that is coming out, I'm assuming, as well over here. But hey, I don't normally list accessories, but game does, apparently.
All right, fair enough. All right, this is the part of the show where we would open up the mailbag if we had any emails. Unfortunately, we didn't get any this week, but you can always send in more emails to participate at orangelounsradio.com. And Loki, since we didn't get any emails this week, let's talk about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4.
Okay. Okay. I have no idea.
Oh, you don't know? Okay. So here's the thing. Kind of a controversial move for All-Stars. They're bringing two queens back from All-Stars 1. But here's the thing, Loki. All-Stars 1 was a flop because what they did, they were only budgeted for 6 episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, I don't know who budgets a 6. Like, this isn't the UK. Our seasons are much longer.
It's like they're, like, budgeting for canvas bags and then they make nylon bags.
Exactly. That's perfect. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 1 was a nylon bag. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 was a canvas bag. So the big controversy was that they paired up queens. So it was that they had to have charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, and synergy. Because they were working in teams.
Synergy, what is this? Fucking Pacific Rim or something?
Well, there's a joke there with the acronym Loki. Just think about it for a minute. Anyway.
Okay.
So so they were playing in teams. And so it caused like all sorts of like weird shit to happen. So one of the teams, Latrilla, which is Latrice Royale. You heard of Latrice Royale?
Mm-hmm.
She's great. And get those nuts out of my face. That's Latrice Royale. And Manila Luzon, who if you're going to watch any lip sync from RuPaul's Drag Race, watch MacArthur Park. Because Manila Luzon does a great job. They are coming back. So even though they were in All-Stars 1, they're also going to be in All-Stars 4. But now it runs by the new rules, which is where the queens kind of eliminate each other. They get to pick from the bottom three whoever wins the lip sync for your legacy. Legacy, legacy. So anyway, Loki, going into RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4, I am super rooting for Monique Hart. She's one of my absolute faves that was from season 10. Okay. That's like a Monique Hart thing. She was in season 10 and she was brilliant. Even if she committed the cardinal sin in my eyes of not knowing the lyrics to a Carly Rae Jepsen song when she had to lip sync for her life. So I'm hoping she gets her redemption this time. Now she got a little more coin. She'll be able to make some more outfits. And yeah, that's who I'm rooting for in this. But I think a lot of people probably rooting for like Latrice. She's an insanely popular queen. And honestly, there really aren't like any bad queens in this, and I'm very much not a person to talk down about drag queens. So even people like Valentina, Pheromone, I want to see them do well. So, all right, there you go. Yes, thank you in chat. ActDev says, reading is fundamental, people. Also, writing. So send your email next week to participate at orangeloungeradio.com unless you want Rob Roberts to run down the RuPaul's holiday special, because that is going to be a thing in the next week as well. We get Super Smash Brothers and a RuPaul's Drag Race holiday special in the same day. Like, December 7th is too much to handle, I'm just saying. All right. Let's get into some more gaming news, Loki.
And so this is kind of just inevitability, I guess, basically. So with all these loot box controversies going on, and of course we have overseas, you know, where the Belgium government has cracked down on loot boxes, and this whole report that came out of the UK, I believe, talking about gambling and young children getting into gambling thanks to, you know, the loot boxes being kind of very similar. So now that all leads to this, where the Federal Trade Commission has said that they're going to be investigating loot boxes regarding, you know, how they affect, you know, children and gambling, and whether this is something that should be regulated like gambling. So according to I guess, they had, was it Senator Maggie Hassan, who apparently spoke out about loot boxes, and I guess the FTC chairman, Joseph Simmons, they addressed, you know, I guess everybody to basically let them know, hey, this is something we're going to be looking into, because, you know, like those reports that came out of the Great Britain's Gambling Commission, they said, you know, given that the seriousness of the issue, I think it's time for the FTC to investigate these mechanisms to ensure that children are being adequately protected and to educate parents about potential addiction or other negative impacts of these games. And then they said, would you commit, and, you know, Hassan said, would you commit to undertaking this project and keeping this committee informed about it? And they said, yes. And they didn't really go into any additional details on what they're going to do, but it is something that they're going to be looking at. And I can imagine not so good for the gaming industry, because, you know, they've been kind of getting away with a lot. And of course, you know, the ESA came out against this saying, you know, hey, they're not gambling, and this is not, you know, this whatever. But you know what? It's either
now would be a good time to just let the loot box thing go, y'all. Now would be a good time.
Either regular. Well, the problem is, like, they just, you know,
unless you're a free to play mobile game, I kind of think when the game is free to play, then all bets are on. Get that's a pun. All bets are on. Yeah.
But like, look at like Fallout 76 again. You know, you have a $60 game that's broken as shit, and then they're still trying to sell microtransactions on top of all this stuff. That's not necessarily a loot box, but with the whole thing, and one of the thoughts I heard online was that the way that they designed their leveling system with the card, basically you unlock like a card pack in like bubblegum. It's almost like you know, trading cards, and each of the your special cards add different perks to your abilities based on which ones you use at a time. But they're all randomized, and sometimes you get duplicates. And they said that the way that that's designed is almost like that they were going to monetize that system as a loot box, but then decided not to at the, you know, in the end. But it's something that if, like, say, for example, Fallout 76 just did very, very, very poorly and just kept, you know, sales not working out, maybe the game goes free to play, and then that could be something that they monetize on top of it.
Interesting perspective from one of our listeners in chat, because this is a show where every gamer has a voice, over at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo said, I'm going to have to get that out. You know how hard that's going to be to get that out of my vocabulary? When I keep saying live.vognetwork.com, I'm going to have to say Twitch TV over Twitch. Anyway, that's going to be the hardest part about the transition.
Well, you'll be staring at a Twitch chat room. And
I know. It's going to be different. All right. Anyway. But for now, it's still
a big sign that says, say Twitch, not live.
I'm going to need that. Like, big reminder. Don't fuck up, Rob. Anyway, Kaijudo says, dump the loot boxes. It's not gambling. It's just a con job. Gambling would be spending money to win money, I believe. Getting prizes for money is like the carnival. That's not gambling.
But it is.
Some call that, like, the ticket spitters at, right, like, Chuck E. Cheese or whatever you call it, Dave and Buster's. Some people call that gambling for kids.
Well, it's basically, it's not that it's actual gambling, but the I mean, sometimes it can be. So, like, in the... When you're talking about, like, you know, skins in, like, Counter-Strike Go, for example, when you could be able to turn those around and sell them for real money, you know, that is actually kind of gambling because you're getting something that's worth something that you can sell for something and actually make real money off of. Whereas, like, a lot of the loot boxes, that's kind of how they've skirted around it before, is because it's not technically gambling, but, you know, the chance of getting things like that and the draw to, like, oh, well, maybe I'll get something, you know, good this time, or they kind of tease you with, oh, you got a rare item or something like that, it still gives, you know, the same, your body goes through the same kind of chemical changes that you would with, like, gambling, where you still feel that, like, impulse to keep doing it, keep playing it. And so it's not that you necessarily get a reward.
I don't know anything about that, says the guy who spent an undetermined amount of money in Vegas. I broke even, okay? I won like $120 the first night. I'm not even kidding. I won, and then I broke even. Let's
but
just
it's
say.
It's just it's like, you know, it's just a lot of things. There's a lot of things that could be for chance, you know, like these skin packs and stuff, and they can say all they want about how, oh, it's not gambling, it's not gambling, it's not gambling. But there's people that are like, you know, I've spent thousands of dollars on this because I can't stop doing this, or, you know, I have a problem with gambling and I play games to get away from gambling, and then this is, you know, trying to bring me back into it. I feel the same urge that I had when I was gambling that I do now with these loot boxes. There are people that have said that this is what they do as an escape, is they play games, and now it's coming back to them.
I would love to invite, like, a psychologist or psychiatrist or some a therapist, somebody who kind of knows maybe a little more about these types of issues, like the gambling addiction issues, who is savvy enough to know what gaming loot boxes are and things, to really kind of get into that side of the issue. I bet that would be fascinating to really kind of, because, like, all that stuff you're talking about, I totally...
The whole thing is a scam. It's a scam. If it was not a scam, it would just be... You pay X amount of money for X item, and that's it. The whole reason that there's chance is because there's a chance that you're not going to get what you want. And they know what chance that is because they set the shit up. They know what the odds are, but they're not telling
you. I think they just need to be transparent with the odds, and that's how we're going to get through this whole thing.
Or just get rid
of
them.
My opinion.
All right. Crap.
All right. Anyhow. Moving on to a new TV series that is kind of based on gaming. And this is very interesting because the TV series that has been optioned by Legendary, which, you know, they make some pretty big movies, sorry, Legendary Pictures, you see that logo, they did a lot of good stuff. They're for television, not a movie, but television has opted a limited series based on Console Wars. This was a book that talked about Sega and Nintendo in the 90s, which a lot of y'all lived, right?
So
a lot of y'all have feelings on this.
Well, I used to know, I was colleagues, I guess, with a guy who, he works for an independent distributor now. He used to do like a bunch of these smaller games, like... one of the games he was distributing in the U.S. and like Mexico area was the farming simulator games and that kind of stuff. But he originally worked for Sega, and he worked during their launch for, I think it was the Genesis, or it was the Genesis or the Dreamcast or some. I think it was the Genesis. And he was telling us stories about how, like, how they were just marketing plans and stuff like that. And some of those stories are really interesting, just like how, you know, by the seat of their pants type of stuff they were doing. So I would be very interested in seeing something like that.
Now, some of the names behind this effort. This is Point Grey Pictures. They make a show on AMC called Preacher. It's kind of a big show. You've probably heard of that one. And some of the names at Point Grey: Evan Goldberg, James Weaver, Seth Rogen, believe it or not, one of the names there. So not to say that, like, Seth Rogen's going to star in this or anything, because I don't even know if it would be, like, more documentary style or if it's going to be, like, fiction, you know, that kind of portrays... You know, because we've seen that before. We've seen fictional accounts of big historical kind of things, like, you know, in a movie, such as, like, my favorite historically accurate film, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, right? Which is based on a book.
Maybe not so much that, but, like, I know.
I'm kidding.
Like, last night when we were looking to watch stuff, they had one. It was about, like, it was Michael Keaton in that, like, the McDonald's, like, the... origin, like McDonald's or something like that. I forget what that was called. But.
There's some new movie coming out where Batman guy. Christian Bale, right?
Yeah.
Who plays Batman like, give me back my son. But it's more like, you know, he's got that voice. So Christian Bale is playing Dick Cheney in some movie.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that,
fantastic.
Like that kind of thing. Yeah, right? So anyway. So we don't know. We don't know if it's fiction or documentary or where the hell they're going with it. But we'll see. Also, the producers behind the movie Annihilation, which I don't think was a huge hit at the box office, but people that saw it, I thought, enjoyed it. So I don't know. But anyway, some of the producers there are on this as well. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. You know, a lot of television, and you know, this is a topic that's probably much bigger than OLR. A lot of television is getting more cinematic. You know, and I think a lot of this was really kind of summed up when, remember the Twin Peaks limited series mm-hmm. from last year, which I was a huge fan of. That's no secret, right? Because I love Twin Peaks. I loved it back in the day, and I was so happy at the new one. But that series ended up on, like, a French best film list. And it ended up somewhere else as a best film list, too. And people were like, but it's not a movie. It's a TV show. But at the same time, it was actually one giant script that was simply cut into episodes to be aired on TV. So those lines between what is film, what is television, are getting more and more blurred as I think this streaming culture is causing more and more cinematic television to be produced. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that is really a discussion for another show, but it's just, you know, I think it kind of just plays into all that because I think that kind of shows you that this is probably something that's going to be built for one of the streaming platforms for sure. So we'll see. Anyhow, moving on, Loki.
All right, so one game that did start off like Fallout 76, but is now much better, No Man's Sky, has yet another update that they released relatively recently. I think it was actually not too long ago. They had kind of like a community update. So with it, they had these new, looks like, or these communication stations where you can send messages, I think, across, I don't know if it's across like the galaxy or whatever, but they had, like, you can actually do audio messages as well. I think hopefully these communication modules aren't going to be all trash. Fuck you, asshole, whoever gets this. But they, of course, you know, new updates, different plant life that they added in the game. Yeah, but I like all these new updates. I really need to go back and play this. I was looking at almost getting on PC again.
I want to go back into it for the third time. Because, you know, Bobby Blackwolf and I, when we were getting more into streaming, we're kind of going back and forth on the No Man's Sky remake. And we were like, what happens if I build a base on this world and you build a base here? And we're kind of like figuring all that out. And now it's like, even since then, so that kind of died off because we just kind of, I don't know, too many other games came out because it was that time of year. And now it's like, shit, they're giving us more reasons to go back and look again. But I love it.
Yeah, I guess
I love
so.
It. That, so this is what a game should be.
Yeah,
this
it was the Visions fantastic. Update is what it was. So yeah. They have this event, a community event that went along with that as well. And so basically they're allowing people to like share messages across the galaxy and stuff.
Oh, cool. So we could have like a VOG community?
Maybe. I don't know exactly how it works. If it's like thing you can like leave behind, like say like you go to someone's planet and then leave a message, or if it actually you can send
well, you
it
could kind of already do that, if I'm not mistaken. You could make like a, well, you could put a message at your base. So you could like build a base and have a message there. And I thought you could leave like a sign that had a message. I mean, my memory's a little sketchy.
Maybe. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Interesting. I'd be into that. That'd be cool. All right. Anyhow. Games that are also getting updates, but not for much longer. Splatoon 2. Shout out to Flacco Jones, because I know he loves Splatoon 2 and does a lot of streams. Sadly, though, Splatoon 2 is looking at its last content update. But, I mean, come on, it's been like a year and a half since Splatoon 2 came out.
Yeah.
And they've been doing regular updates. So it had to end sometime. So anyway, version 4.3.0 is coming out on December 5th. And it's not like the biggest update in the world, but they are going to be doing a new bomb defense update. DX, which is, I guess, a replacement for the bomb defense up and cold-blooded abilities. So, yeah, there's just, you know, they're going to have some new gear abilities and a few new weapons as well, but don't look it for any, like, gigantic stuff. But there is something called main power-up as well, which will allow you to enhance the performance of your main weapon. It will vary considerably from weapon to weapon. There'll also be just, you know, some different-looking weapons and stuff that you can kind of check out in the trailer if you want. Now, even though December 5th is the last major update, Nintendo has said that Splatfests and balance updates will continue until July next year. So if there's any, you know, major issues, they will still continue to fix those, do the balance tweaking and all that stuff. And, again, Splatfests will live on through July. Just in time for them to announce a Splatoon 3 at E3.
Oh, please don't. Don't make a third game of that and not, like, other sequels for games that we need.
I don't know if I agree with you. I'm okay with that. If they decide they're going to do a Splatoon 3 and they make it a new thing, I don't see how they would have developed one that fast. But, you know, if they have a Splatoon 3 that's a new, rich experience that offers some new stuff and new modes and things, I'd be for it. I remember a day and age, Loki, when, like, every other year you'd get some new game in a franchise. Or, shit, if you're Assassin's Creed, you get it every year. So if Madden, a sports game, can do a new fucking thing every year, Splatoon, I think, could even go further and give some remarkable, not just roster updates, but remarkable content things and do that. I would be all for a Splatoon 3 it's worth it. You know, again, I don't want them just to make a Splatoon 3 for the sake of having something new to sell. But if they make it its own little thing, I'd be all for that. And Act Deft in chat, who's also a big fan of Splatoon, says, Splatoon 3, yes, please. Bobby Blackwell says, I would be for it, but they did not name Splatoon 2 Splatoon, you know, that spelling, and therefore they no longer get the right to make sequels. Fine. I would be okay if maybe, like, the Splatoon team did a new concept. I bet a lot of Splatoon fans would be totally okay with that. What would you say about that, Loki? Like, a different type of competitive game that's just that creative team.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because they took a kill-kill, die-die shooter and made it about paint. They made it a family, fun, friend game. I'd give them that chance on, you know, other types of competitive genres. Why not? Maybe like a hero battler or something. Who knows? Anyway. All right. VidPower in chat suggests for a new title, 3 Splat, 3 Furious. All right, you guys. Calm down. All right. A few more stories for you guys. Then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. But first, Loki.
So there was a developer that was goes by the name of Thin Matrix, and they've been working on a game called Aquilinox for the last 3 years or so, almost 3 years. And what's kind of unique about them is that they were live blogging the whole process each week, you know, since February 19, 2016, and now as of earlier this last month, the game has been released. So now you can pick up Aquilinox. It's a life simulation game. You basically create your own, like, biomes, and you have different animals and stuff that kind of exist in there, and you kind of have to manage everything to make sure that, you know, the world is you're cultivating and shaping the world as you like. So it's kind of cool, the different things on there. But I was watching some of the live blogs that he did, talking about, like, some of the gameplay tweaks and different bugs that they ran into, which is kind of fun, even especially just right before release, just adding new features. And it's very, like, even just the videos were very relaxing. The game itself is, like, a very relaxing game. It's only, like, $10, too, so...
Does reading that stuff kind of help motivate you a little bit when you kind of see the trials and tribulations that other developers go through?
I've only watched, like, a video or so of that. I want to be motivated to do stuff. I even was looking at...
But it's hard!
Well, no, it is. It's just, like, trying to... Like, there was another... I read another, like... I don't know if it was... I didn't really read it. I watched it. It was, like, a... I don't remember which developer it was. It was some developer of an indie game that I had recognized, and he was talking about how, like, six games you should program to get into the whole game dev cycle thing. So they basically said, like, you do Tetris, and then you do it was like Asteroids, Arkanoid. I know the last one was Super Mario Brothers. And then I'm trying to remember the other couple games that they had in there as well. But it's basically, you know, because each one teaches you something different, plus finishing stuff is a good idea. But I don't know.
Just do it. Just go remake a game. Yeah. And Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I remember telling Loki this. He said, fuck that. I don't have time for that. Bobby just was rubbing in a little bit that you should have listened to him. To
and I don't. That's kind of the
that's the joke.
That's kind of like, after I saw that and started thinking about it for a little bit, I'm like, I don't have time for one game, let alone like six games.
Speaking of indie game development, I just want to shout out again YYR and his game Falling Plus, which I was dumb and I left out of my gaming week. Although, to be fair, we spent an awful lot of time pimping Falling Plus last week. But I do want to pimp it one more time and say it is released on Steam. And I hope some of you guys will spend the $2, which I think might still be $1.50. I don't know how much for longer. But go spend the $2 and check it out. Because, I did a live stream of playing Falling Plus. And I kind of got the game. Like, the game, like, clicked for me. You know what it was? I had to watch somebody else play it. So when I watched Bobby play it, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, because when I originally played it on Xbox 360, I don't think I knew what the hell I was doing. But this time, like, watching Bobby play it, I was like, oh, okay, I kind of understand a little more. So now I played it. And for at least a few minutes, Loki, I had the world record in the single-player mode. Because Bobby said it, and then I was like, well, we can't have this. So I did a live stream that was basically me beating Bobby's record, and that's why I called it. And it took me a little bit, but I finally got around to doing it. And then here's what happens. So the minute I get that score, like, I think I stopped the stream, and like 2 minutes later, I see my little Steam pop up. Orange Wright is playing Falling Plus, and I'm like, I know what he's doing. I fucking know what that guy's doing. And sure enough, like, a couple hours later, Orange Wright just like fucking annihilated us out of the water with his high score. But you earned it. Props to you. Slow clap. But anyway, no, all that joking aside, one thing that I've kind of started doing in Falling Plus that actually like helped me a lot is I've tried to switch from using the controller. I actually find when I use the keyboard, I can do those trick shots a lot better. My timing is more precise because the Xbox 360 controller is, you know,
crap.
It's
not crap. The D-pad's crap.
I don't want to say it's crap, but it's not MLG Falling Plus material. It's competent to get you through the game and enjoy the game and be happy with what you spent on it. But the keyboard is how I'm going to get MLG Pro. That is how I will destroy Orange Wright, hopefully, at some point. And take my rightful place back on the top of the board. But it's going to be hard. So, because now I'm having to, like, reteach my muscle memory because, you know, like, the kicking is one button, the jumping is another, and the throwing is another. And it's like, oh, what? I stopped there. Which one was the throwing button? And, you know, I'm having to reteach my muscle memory. But It's fun. Like, I'm into it. Like, I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to close on this thought. YYR, because I know you're listening. Like, seriously, switch port, please. Like, I really hate to be that son of a bitch, but like, I would play this game portable mode like so fast. Like, this is like the perfect type of like lay in bed and play for like 10 minutes before you go to sleep type of thing. So we need like a YY Arcade on Switch. That's, oh my god, I'm brilliant.
You just made it up.
Oh my god, YY Arcade that has like Snake 360 and Pixel shits, although he'll have to rename it, but you know. And all these little games and falling on Switch. I'm brilliant. And I'm probably getting hate mail from YYR right now for putting that out there in the universe.
No. You make your own thing. Stop giving me.
All right. And YYR does say in chat that his offer does remain open from last episode. So if you listened last week, hint, hint, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right. YYR says, if the numbers are good enough, I will totally go to Switch. Attaboy. Attaboy. Make him beg for it by making him pay. Put the coin where the mouth is. Attaboy, YYR. All right. Sell some copies. Buy copies for your friends this holiday season. All right. One more story for you guys, talking about not so indie game development, but a smaller game, but a long-running game. And y'all know this is one of my favorite franchises. Clue. Or Cluedo, as it's called overseas. But here is a big board game named Clue that they turned into a movie with Tim Curry in the 80s. Yes. You might have heard of it. So anyhow, Clue, the classic board game from Hasbro, is coming to the Nintendo Switch. So Hasbro will bring games to the Switch, but to be fair, I think it's coming out on like mobile phones and all that as well. So it's called Clue or Cluedo, depending on where you live. The classic mystery game, which actually is already out on mobile devices and Steam, and it will soon be getting a release on Nintendo's console, the Switch. There's a little announcement trailer with all the news, and it kind of looked like the board game. Like, it didn't look like they really changed it. Like, if you've ever played the Super Nintendo version of Clue, which was the same as the Genesis version of Clue, and I kind of love that adaptation, but they kind of changed the board game a lot for that. So I think they kind of keep this a little more pure to the board game, but it's kind of neat because they have like the characters in different looks that you can kind of play as. And so they found some ways to kind of like nickel and dime you, I'm sure, but also, you know, just make the game more customizable. So I think it's kind of cute. So I just thought it was cool that they are making Clue, because I love Clue. It's a fun board game, so it's cool that it's coming out for the Switch. So Kaijudo in chat says, I have Clue on my phone. It's dope. They also have Clue cool themes, but it's expensive. It's like 30-something bucks to get all the stuff in the game. Well, unfortunately, Kaijudo ain't nothing for free. But I wonder, if you buy it on Switch, would you just get all that stuff unlocked? I bet you would, because I doubt it's free to play on Switch. So I don't know. We'll
they
see.
They could make it free to play on Switch. So.
Yeah. All right, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. The Skype line is open, and you can go ahead and give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. As far as I know, even with the Switch in the future, we're going to be holding on to Skype for a little while because now I won't be running on Windows XP anymore, but we'll see. Anyway, the phones are lighting up. Let's get to some calls. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, how you doing?
Pretty good. We're also getting ready for the Twitch transition, too.
I know you guys, the AMA Jam Session, are going through a similar transition, so I'm excited to see how you guys implement it.
Well, we've talked about, you know, throwing the camera between the different hosts each week, or figure out a way to do a remote access, or have, icons of the different hosts, and it lights up. Well, we're going to figure something out.
Yeah, you guys still got a little time. If nothing else, have a static image in your voices, and there'll still be people to turn up.
Well, yeah, speaking of, I already got the work going, so pretty much our Twitch page is up. I have, the little icon there saying, we are going to go on live, I believe, January 15th.
Yeah, that sounds about right, based on some other time frames I haven't been as public about, but I guess I could say now the radio feed is targeted for closure in January next year. So Rama's trying to get in there before there is no radio feed anymore.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see the new show, or, you know, hear it most of all, but, you know.
Me too. We have a couple other people I know who do a Twitch show similar to us. So I've been watching them, just kind of taking notes and so forth.
It's honestly not a bad idea. It's great.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, blow smoke up your ass, but I kind of learn from one of the best out there.
Oh,
just saying.
Stop. Flattery will get you everywhere. So what's on your mind? I know you didn't just call in to kiss my ass, although if you did, like, great. But what's on your mind tonight?
I want to talk about Fallout 76.
Oh, really. Boy. First off, did you buy it?
Fuck no.
Okay, so I just want that to be clear up front. All right, what's your thoughts on Fallout 76?
I mean, if I really wanted the game, I would have got a subscription to Elder Scrolls Online, just saying.
All right.
But I posted this in the chat. So it probably got caught up in the scroll, but when I got up today, I got a message from a friend of mine, and he sent me a picture. Now, in this picture is a fully customizable, fully skinned Fallout 76 Xbox One X, along with a skinned controller and swag for one of the Bethesda influencers. So I sat here and I started doing some thinking. Now, I used to sell shirts for a living, so I could tell you the initial cost, how printing a shirt and what to resell it for. Now, a nylon bag will run you about $12.
Mm-hmm.
Wholesale, $8. A nylon bag will run you about, a canvas bag will run you about $16. Sale, $9, give or take. Now, when you buy in bulk, it gets cheaper. So let's say, for the sake of the argument, 1,000 pre-orders for Fallout 76 Collector's Edition for this. instead of them costing Bethesda $9 a bag, that will probably cost them, I say maybe $7 a bag. $7,000 right there. Now, all of this is coming out of their marketing budget for the game. And the budget, let's say it's about 10 grand. I'm just throwing numbers out. It could be way more than that. But all they're doing for the influencers, that's taken out from the budget. Now, the brand new fancy canvas bags that they're giving out, I could tell you that's probably going to run you about $20 right there. I mean, and I get that. Now, the fact that they're handing out to these influencers fully skinned Xbox One X consoles and probably PlayStation 4 Pro consoles as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be very minimal discount from the manufacturer on these consoles and then skinning it on top. So you're looking at maybe $400 for the Pro and $500 for the X. And that's with all the skinning and all of that.
That's very typical. I mean, for the influencers to get like a special console and things like that to show off, you know, that's a common trend. That's a trend that goes way back. Somebody you and I both know that may or may not be listening to the show right now has received something like that from a company in the past, and I'll let them out themselves if they want. But that's not like an uncommon type of thing to, you know, again, it's like how Loki, you worked in video distribution.
Yeah.
You got free movies all the fucking time.
Yep.
And I bet you got stuff on top of that too. Like, you know, gift cards or, you know, other things to incentivize your sales. Right?
TVs.
Yeah, TV. You got a TV. That's right. You fucking got a TV once. I remember that.
I've gotten, HGTV.
Okay.
I've gotten. But, yeah, that was, yeah, I mean, they just did that.
So it's like that. Because, you know what? I mean, sure, that stuff costs money, but it's all about, because in this case, Loki was pushing sales, you know, and if he, you know, surely remembers this TV, he's going to remember this movie in the studio and probably be a little more incentivized.
Well,
that
was a little bit different. It wasn't necessarily like we're doing this so you sell. I mean, I guess it is still like sell stuff, but it was more of like if you sell this, we just, and they have money.
Yeah.
It's basically that the company has money that they can use. They could either pay you just money,
right,
or they could buy something to incentivize you. It's all part of their budget, their marketing budget.
Anyway, my point is that maybe Loki was, and in the way influencers are selling too, you know, whether we like them or not, the reality is many YouTubers have quite a following with millions of subscribers, and $400 to get your product exposed to millions of people is honestly, it's a drop in the fucking bucket. It really is. Like it doesn't matter what they spend on those consoles, because like commercials to advertise on Comedy Central to probably less people than some of these YouTube channels are going to cost way more money. So my point is with this, I ain't mad about these special consoles, these other things that influencers get. What I'm mad about is that this canvas bag that they got was kind of that impression of, oh, this is what you're getting with the professional edition. And so people do these unboxing videos of, look at all this stuff I got with the professional edition. And it has that subtext of, I got this canvas bag and you will too, because they're advertising the canvas bag. Whether they said that explicitly or not, like that's the impression you get. Whereas with the special PS4s and Xbox 360, a reasonable person knows, I'm not getting a fucking console. But I was promised a canvas bag.
And I totally get that. But the thing I get is that I'm just saying this budget. They took care of all the influencers. And when they look at the rest of the amount of the budget, they're like, oh, fuck. We can't afford the canvas bags, so we'll have to drop down a dollar and give them the nylon bags.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they were probably right about financially affording it. They just probably didn't budget the marketing budget high enough for that. So the influencers and the VIPs get to walk away with the cool swag, while everyone who pre-ordered just get the short end of the stick.
Well, Rama, we're gonna bust our butts and work a little harder, and maybe we'll be in that influencers club. we used to be, but the industry changed, and in some ways we changed too early, in some ways we're changing too late. But it doesn't matter. It's not about me and free shit. I really don't care. I've been doing this show for shit for 17 years. No, I shouldn't say for shit, because the reward I get from it is you guys that fucking show up, that send emails. I kid you not. I got, this isn't a joke, okay, or something I'm bringing up for like the sake of hyperbole or something like that. I got a message, and I'm being slow because I'm actually bringing it up on Twitter right now. I got a message on Twitter this week. I'm not going to out the person that said it, but I got a message, direct message, so you wouldn't be able to see it online. "Hey, I just want to let you know that you inspired me years ago on Horde House and on Orange Lounge Radio. Hope you're having an awesome day." That's why I do this. I don't keep your goddamn brand in PlayStation 4. That is worth 10 times more.
Exactly. One time with Anime Next on a Sunday, I'm taking pictures. Somebody recognized me from the podcast, and we took a picture together, and I posted it on my page. That is the reason why I go out and invest so much money in doing the show and telling people this is how we do it. And I just feel, you know, I understand you got to take care of, you know, the inf- I get that, but don't forget about the rest of the squad that love and support your games.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. I mean, come on. Because you're looking from somebody who occasionally plays a few games here, from somebody who may pick up a collector's edition of a game once or twice a year. And I mean, honestly, I have never been the biggest Bethesda fan. I mean, hell, if I want to sit there and play glitch games, I'm just saying, I will invest that money. But the way they handle that and the way they're handling these situations, I'm just like, you know, I just have no desire to purchase another Bethesda game. If it's done by an outside studio and they publish it, I'm okay with that. That I will do. I'll buy it used, but if it's their in-house, no, I'm just going to step back and be like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Bethesda, I really think is, I don't think they're going to be able to live this one down quite so easy. I bet in the next week we're going to see some type of better response from Bethesda. We'll see. I don't know if that's going to be that they're just going to provide canvas bags or that they're going to make up with maybe a game giveaway of some sort. I don't know. I don't know what Bethesda does to make it right, but they're going to have to do something. This 500 atoms or whatever, this isn't going to cut it. And to be fair, this is where, okay, remember I told you when I started this whole thing, I said, Rob will try to cut the big company some slack in the interest of fairness wherever he can, right? Even though I think this canvas bag stuff is bullshit. But here's what I will give you. This whole 500 atoms and that whole thing, that whole, like, what the customer service
it costs them nothing.
Well, here's the thing. That is probably what that outsourced customer service employee is empowered to do for somebody. And mm-hmm. So, because I bet Bethesda has not come up with an official, what the fuck are we going to do about this type of situation? So what they did in that interim time was these customer service reps are empowered to give away $5. So they gave away $5.
The 500 atoms, that's through their official Twitter account. That was their response.
I would even say that could be all they are empowered to do until the executives in the boardroom do something better. So maybe it's
I would
not
just say don't take it because it's garbage and I'm not paying $5 is a geek shit. It gives you, I swear to God, and I made the joke before, it gives you a door and some succulent plants or a beehive hairdo.
Anyhow, all right. I should probably wrap up and try to take more calls, but Rama, always a joy to hear from you, okay?
Right back at you.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
You too. Bye.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Some folks are talking about kind of like rewards and things like that. A lot of very nice things being said about that message I got. I guess YYR says that's the sort of message I love to see as a developer as well. That's a great point. Is that even like if there's an indie game you love, like leave a nice review, send an email saying like I love you and I hate you because I spent all night playing your game and not sleeping. That type of stuff is going to go a very long way. I bet you anything. I love it. All right, let's get to another call here on the Skype line. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator, what's on your mind tonight?
Not a whole lot. I just want to get in since this is going to be last show on VOG Network before you transition to Twitch. And
real quick, I have to correct a few things. A, we think the date is December 16th, so you actually have one more week. And that may not be the final date. If I run into technical – this is why the whole time I've been like, do not fucking hold me to a date. I am trying because what I really want, Raginator, is to be on Twitch in 2019. But if I can go – if I can pull the trigger a few couple weeks early to work out the kinks and we have some real messy shows over the holidays, people will forgive us in the Christmas spirit. So that's the idea. But the other thing – the other thing is that VOG Network, and I want to be very clear on this, VOG Network is not going away. I don't think you, but is the way you kind of worded that, I just want to be very clear. VOG Network, still a thing, still working together to promote indie podcasts and each other. Just it's just a different delivery mechanism. It's just instead of coming to you by UPS, it's coming to you by FedEx. That's all.
All right, point taken. But anyway, since it's that time of year, we're all all the major holidays are coming up, regardless of what religion you follow, assuming that you follow a religion. I thought I would post a timely topic, although granted, it may be a little bit difficult to talk about since this is a live internet show and a recorded podcast. Ergo, you don't necessarily know who's listening. But that being said, now when it comes to gaming and geek related stuff, so on and so forth, have you taken advantage of of any big sales like Cyber Monday, Black Friday, or are you planning on taking advantage of some before Christmas? And are you would you like to drop not so subtle hints as $2 what you want for Christmas? Or, well, I know you can't necessarily say what you're going to give out because who knows who's listening, but
right. So I've gotten really super into collecting these little mini arcade cabinets lately, and I think I'm going to do a video for Twitch at some point where I actually show like my little, because my collection's getting kind of impressive, right, Loki?
Pretty big.
It's getting pretty big there. So I love more of those, but it's going to be hard to find out what I need and what I already have. Because chances are, if I need it, I'm probably tracing it down right now. I will say the new ones in the Walmart collection are the actual Fix-It Felix machine. And because they miniaturized
that
down. Isn't that cool? Jamie has it, and I was playing it at her house on Friday. So it's a cute little. The only thing it's missing is that Ralph doesn't go, "I'm gonna wreck it." Like, that's gone, unfortunately, because they it runs on crappy hardware. But otherwise, it's pretty faithful. And then Ms. Pac-Man. So I'm trying to track those down right now, and I think I need a Pac-Man version of the Target line. But like, how many times do I have to buy fucking Pac-Man? I already have it in the Walmart lines anyway. Anyway, I strongly hinted to the husbs that I want to get that, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, the $80 one with bad dudes on it and a bunch of the Data East stuff. I'm looking at that, and I was looking at Atari Flashback 9 Gold. You know, they do those flashbacks every year, and I've never bought one. I bought the Intellivision one, but I never bought the Atari one, so I kind of sort of want that, I think. So, yeah, that's some of the stuff on my holiday list. As far as, like, the sales and stuff, I have to admit, I didn't super take advantage of Black Friday or Cyber Monday, especially when it came to games. I pretty much already own everything, or I'm waiting on it, like Smash Brothers, for this season. But the only thing I bought on Black Friday was to benefit OLR. I bought a webcam half off. That's one of those fancy, Logitech, the newer ones that'll do the higher end video. Well, even though we're only going to do 720, but HD, it'll be HD.
Oh, so, cool.
Yeah. Anyhow, and thank you, Tiger Claw. I have seen that link, and that's probably how I'm going to end up getting the Fix-It Felix. I was hoping it would be in stock at a local store. We joke about this Walmart in the middle of nowhere because there's this back road. Have you ever I don't want to say it on air.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, you've been to that Walmart. It's like, there's nothing around it. It's like in the middle of nowhere. It's like, why did they build a fucking Walmart here?
Because anyway, eventually they'll build stuff
around it. Sacramento's kind of growing that direction. Eventually they'll build stuff around it. But anyway, I was surprised they didn't have any in stock. Loki, let me let you answer the question real quick, and then I'm going to turn the tables on Rage Nader and make him answer it. So did you do anything with the sales, or what's on your holiday list for games?
For me to buy? For myself?
Well, just what would you hope maybe the wife or the kids are looking at getting you?
My wife asked me that today. She's like, "What do you want for Christmas?" So so a little backstory here. So my wife now follows me on Twitter. So I have literally no place to bitch about anything anymore.
Uh-oh, did she read some of your past stuff?
Oh no, I already took care of deleting stuff a long time ago. She's not gonna go back that far. Anyway, so I have literally no place to vent anymore about stuff. So I'm gonna vent here because that's what I did. So
she'll never listen to this.
Yes, exactly. So here's what I'm gonna vent about. So like, speaking of gifts, so she asked me, what do you want me to get you for Christmas? Which I don't like that because I feel that we've been married for how long, and she's known me for how long, and she doesn't know what I like, or she can't think of, like can't be creative in her own mind without, you know, coming up with something that she could think that I might like. She doesn't want to do that. She wants me to tell her, okay, get this thing. Okay, well, I'm basically telling her to go to the store and pick something up for me that I could do myself. And it's most likely, if it's anything like my birthday was, it's us going to the store, me picking it up, and her going, see, here you go. You can't get anything else. So, no, I'm not doing that. But here's what happened. Like, I was going to get her an air fryer because she wanted an air fryer and stuff like that. So I ordered an air fryer from Amazon. And because she opens my boxes when they get home from stuff, I told her, I'm like, I'm getting stuff sent in the mail from Amazon. I don't want you opening it up because –
At least it wasn't like this. When this new mixing board showed up, they just put a mailing label on the fucking mixing board box.
Right, exactly. Well, I specifically had them, like, it was going to, like, Amazon does a thing, like, if it was going to come in a box, it basically is like that with just a mailing label on it. They have the option, do you want to put this in a plain box so that they can't see what's inside? So I said, yes, put it in the plain box or whatever. So I told her, I'm like, I don't want her opening up the box because I'm ordering stuff also gifts for the kids too. So yeah, I don't want that stuff opening. So what does she do when I say, okay, I tell her like, I don't want you opening this box up. She goes, oh, what's coming in the box? Is it a gift for me? I'm like, yes, actually it is a gift for you. Is it an air fryer? Is it a Roomba? I bet it's an air fryer. I'm like, you fucking ruined like the whole art of me giving you a gift and being nice about it. Like, it seriously pisses me off. It upsets me, like, because I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to, like think about doing something nice, and all I get in return is just, like, let me just take that thunder away from you. Let me just take all of the effort out of it.
Happy Hanukkah.
It's fucking annoying. So, right. Yes, she asked me what I wanted for Christmas today, and I'm like, I don't fucking know. I haven't been thinking about me. I've been thinking about what the hell to get everybody else. So I don't know. I fucking don't know what the hell I would want for Christmas. Because
how about
even...
it was suggested in chat that you offer up use of the 4K TV.
I can seriously count the amount of hours that I've played on the 4K TV since we've gotten it. And I'm not going to be holding up all fingers. It's like three fingers.
Why don't you ask for another TV?
We have a TV in the bedroom. It's 1080p. No. She can fucking watch what...
All right. Look,
whatever.
Look, I appreciate Loki's psychiatry session, but I gotta get Ragenator. I gotta turn this question on you. Like, Ragenator, what about you? Are you what are you looking for the holidays? Are you browsing the sales? Are you buying stuff for special somebodies? What's happening?
Yeah, excuse me, clearing my throat. I'm in a weird position. My family has kind of gotten away from celebrating the holidays, because reasons. They wouldn't probably be too long to get into and probably not great for radio. But so my family and I are not doing anything per se. So my options are really, either A, do something for myself do something for Lily. I kind of opted to do something for Lily. Unfortunately, I couldn't really take advantage of the sales because of really shitty timing.
Is Lily the girl you've talked about before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did give her some stuff fairly early because things happened. And basically like early Christmas presents to cheer her up. Like I gifted her like Limbo. Surprise, surprise, I paid full price for it. I know, shocker, right? Me paying full price for a game.
Wow, you must be really crazy about this person.
here's the thing, I was going to wait for a sale, but, again, things happened too long to get into, but I can't give a gift early just to, cheer her up, but...
Why not? Loki did.
Yeah. then, of course, I also gave her, the Dracula trilogy. Since that was on sale, I gave it to her. Plus, I got Dracula trilogy for myself as well. Then technically, it's not geek related, but I also helped her out by giving putting $50 towards her rent because again, things happen.
Sure.
And then there was one other gift that I've given her, plus one that I'm going to be giving her early, probably within the next week or two, that it would be highly inappropriate for me to talk about on stream. But you can probably take a guess as to what general area.
Moving on. Games.
Yeah. But you know, at least on the gifts I did give were geek related. So, but no, I'm not really expecting anything for Christmas. Like I said, family doesn't do anything for Christmas, and Lily's not really in a position to give out gifts. She's barely able to give out Christmas cards. So,
maybe you'll get a poem or a coupon book for chores around the house, or one of those things that that Loki's kids will get for Loki, because you can't really put a cost on them.
Yeah, well, I know it sounds weird, but I'm kind of considering the opportunity to chit chat with her on a regular basis. My gift, because I just enjoy talking to her on a regular basis, even about mundane stuff. So.
All right, what is up with tonight being like therapy night? All right, look, I asked about the games.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm taking up way too much time during your show. I'm sure other people want to call in, not just me, Ranma. So,
well, you might be surprised, but yeah, I appreciate the phone call nevertheless. And hey, right. Have a happy holiday, okay?
All right, you too. Take care.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's see if anybody else wants to call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Or I guess if you still want to do the old-fashioned way, 1-877-GAME-OLR, if you want to give us a call. I haven't checked in to see if there's any last-minute stories. I don't know. I think we covered all the big stuff.
I was looking. I still haven't found anything.
Yeah, there's not a lot of other big stuff going on that I can think of. But I will try to leave that open for just a couple more seconds if anybody wants to get through again over Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. I was thinking about the Christmas gift question. There is still one game I never picked up that I guess I should kind of wait and see if maybe Huzz or somebody will get it. But I never did pick up Soul Calibur 6. So that's a game that I guess I should hold out for, because I don't know why I skipped it. I just it was just the wrong time to ask me for $60. So as some of you in chat, I think I mentioned this on the show, Alan's between jobs right now, and we're fine, like, financially. We're not, like, devastated, because I make fine money where I'm at to keep us along. But I would really love for, that to all be sorted out, and then I can start to drop more and more money frivolously on games. I think that's kind of what it comes down to. Like, something like Smash Brothers is like, okay, I know I'm going to play this game. I have to have this game. But, like, Soul Calibur 6, can I sit on that for a little bit? Even stuff like the Sega Genesis Collection and the Katamari stuff, I'm like, do I have to have that day one? Maybe I can hold off a little bit just while some other things work itself out. So we'll see. Oh, Rama says Soul Calibur 6 was on sale for $35. Damn it, I missed it. Oh, well. I'm sure Steam always does a sale at the end of the year, and it is on PC, so maybe they'll have it that price again or something like that. Who knows? You never know. Anyway, the Skype line is not lighting up anymore, so I think we are about at the end of the show.
It's down to $48.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
On Amazon.
Okay, that's not bad at all. Maybe I'll just end up picking that up. We'll see. But anyway, let's close up shop. We're going to end it for the week. We'll be back next week. Darksoccer will be here in the house. That'll be nice to hear from her. So send some emails. Give her something to read. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Let's go around and get some final thoughts. Well, actually, before we do that, I'll say, as I always do, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend about the show. Help spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but, the voices have to be here. So help bring some new friends into the show. This whole transition we're going to be going through is a great time to do that, I think. I think more people will find a Twitch channel easier probably than they do how to listen on Shoutcast or TuneIn or whatever you're using today, which, no shade to TuneIn. They've done a great job for us for many years, and I'm sad I can't pimp them anymore in a few weeks. But anyway, if you enjoyed this too, you can also leave a review, a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, wherever you found the show. That stuff goes a long, long way. Support indie broadcasting no matter what. Even if you hated this whole show but made it to the end anyway, just support it. Support a show you do like, dang it. Because there's many indie broadcasters out there who appreciate your support. Just like we were talking about earlier, a little note, little review, little nice words goes a long way, you guys. Okay, now let's get final thoughts. Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is I'm probably have to load a new version of DDR onto the cabinet because I'm kind of getting tired of 4th Plus already. I got tired of that really fast. I don't know. Like, I played through all the songs, like, and it's like, okay, now I've played through them. I don't know. But it'll be better once I get the Step Mania machine going. I'm still, working on the theme for that. Actually have Photoshop open, so that, you know, working on it. Then everything will be in there. Then I want this, you know, I'll have so many songs to play.
Woohoo!
But then I'll have to make steps for songs that, you know, are missing steps.
I still need to come over and do a stream with you. So that'll be fun. Make that happen before Christmas. So I guess that's it. My final thought is I'm going to try to play at least one new video game this week, besides Smash Brothers, because I'll be playing that on Friday for sure. So try to play one new game every week, at least for the rest of the year. And I am I really, really want to get into doing more like video on demand stuff for Twitch. So that's something I'm trying to look at doing too. Just, you know, all these projects, not enough hours, and then they get sucked into MMOs. But, oh well, that's what happens. So, anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to stream more games other than DDR. Just, I don't have a really good place to do that.
Yeah.
I have to probably clean the garage and then.
Well, maybe you'll get something worked out just in time for summer to hit.
Yeah. Hey, I was streaming games. It's only 120 degrees inside the garage now, and we have no air. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's it. We're done here. We're out for the night. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show tonight and supporting us. We'll see you in 7 days to do it all again. Until then, have a great week, everybody, and good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.